You're listening to Bigot Radio with your host, Jeremy McKenzie.
Burn it all down! Blow it all up!
Radio.
Right with your fucking cheese in your mouth and everything. Eating cheese right in front of me now.
Bigot Radio.
Ha! Yeah, every saint could be a sinner. When the finger's on the trigger, I gave an inch, you take a life. It's do or die. They tried to drown me in the drama, and now I'm swimming with piranhas. Yeah, bleed me dry, I won't survive, but that's alright. You're just evil.
Just a single fucking one of y'all.
It's like I can't keep them away from me. Could change my name and my identity. But either way, there's no escape. It's all the same. So shame shifting is something wicked. Show is all that feeling that you hide inside. Friendly, but lethal, like the devil in disguise, hiding in plain sight. You're just evil people, you're all just evil people. Evil people, cracking smiles and twisting knives. Friendly, but lethal, like the devil in disguise, hiding in plain sight. Just a single fucking one of y'all.
Equipment check. Justin, can you hear them screaming? Are the lambs still screaming, Justin?
Shut it, shut it, shut it, shut it, shut it, shut it.
104.4 FM. Bigot Radio. Radio.
I didn't touch any of that, Phil. What did you do? I didn't. Don't look at me. It's just pure bourbon. Really? Nah, it's just water. It's one of those. Feels like if there was ever a time. Yes. Carnival! Who's excited? Who's excited for Carnival? Phil can't fucking wait for Carnival. Ah, we're back for now, as while we're allowed to be. The new age of Carnival. How's everybody's heads feeling? Heads, hearts, souls. I'm fine. I ignored the entire thing. Because it doesn't matter. I'm one of the few people that say it doesn't matter, but I actually believe what I say. So why get worked up with something that doesn't matter? Carnival. We're here for it. It's happened. Oh, man. Oh. I mean, I guess it could have been worse. I mean, this is going to force a conclusion faster than it otherwise would. But we'll get to that. Welcome back, everybody. How are you doing? How's it going? How are you living? How's it? How's everybody's headspace and timing this week? The Canadian election has just been finished, has it? Yesterday evening. And the government won. If anybody didn't know what the results of the election were, the government won again. The end. And they somehow Milhouse blew a 30-point lead, the biggest lead in history. I'm pretty sure in this country, maybe anywhere. And in just a couple of months, evaporated it to absolutely nothing and lost. Lost his own seat. Even PP didn't even get reelected personally. And he's going to refuse to. He's going to stay on as the leader because he's done such a great job already. Oh. It's going to implode. And then, of course, Jagmeet also. He's resigning, though. So there is that silver line. There'll be no more Jagmeet. There'll be no more Rolex. No more Captain. What was it? Not a Mercedes. Well, not a Lexus. I'm not a grifting politician, so I'm not super familiar with all the rich, fancy luxury cars. A Maserati, that's what it was. It took me a minute to remember. I don't even know. Yeah, it's a Maserati. Who is that? Italian? Sounds Italian. Hey, oh, what are you leaving my cars out of this for? I'll be bringing the automobiles into this, you know? It's not the car's fault. Not the car's fault. It's driven by a communist. Obviously, the country's, a lot of people are very upset, which is, I know I've been very quiet and I have nothing to say last month or so because there's really no point when everybody's caught up in reality TV and playing house, you know, you just wait for them to sober up and go home before even bothering. There's no point in trying to engage with anybody when they're in the middle of a fantasy world delusion. What did Mark Twain say? If it mattered who you voted for, it wouldn't let you do it. We'll see. Well, I'll explain a lot of that. I'm going to go over and look at some of the wreckage and the stupidity of all of this. And I have some thoughts on it, but not a lot. Because, again, really, for me, not much has changed. For me personally, however, I now have to make some pretty radical changes. It's about as clear as I can be without giving that away because, you know, the state has made no secret about the fact that they're trying to kill me or put me in jail forever, or, you know, get rid of me one way or the other. And there is a slew of wonderful new legislation and laws coming into play that were written for yours truly by the prestigious lawyers at the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, which was, again, of course, a Liberal Party-funded activism group. Carries 10-year sentences, 20-year sentences, big fines, penalties, bans, ankle monitors, you know, all this kind of stuff. Because there was an election, that bill is in the trash with everything else. However, they are going to reintroduce it very quickly. As they've said, it's a priority for them. Before they go around confiscating your property, which they will be doing. If people think I mean their guns. No, I mean your actual fucking house. The irony. What these boomers just did, they don't even know. And I will not feel bad for them. They may think that it's the young people that have the most to lose as a result of this, and they're the ones that got fucked over the most, but I don't know if that's true, because when you're in your 20s and 30s, you still have time to kind of rebuild your life and start over. You can't do that if you're 60 or 70. And those people are about to be taxed to death. Literally. They're going to take everything from them. But, you know, elbows up. Bark, bark, bark. The chicken people did their chicken dance. So, you know, it's all good. I'll get into it in a minute. Let me just free to catch up to some of these chats here. You guys have been great. Thank you very much. Ryan Triple G. Like the Russian. Are you Gennady Golovkin? Please tell me yes. Thank you for that. Very, very generous. Sorry, he says, my spirit will rise from the grave and the world will know I was right. A quote often attributed to Mustache Man. I don't know if he actually did. I mean, I never really got to the bottom of that. I remember looking that up to see if that was ever written or said that somewhere, but I don't know if that's true. But I've heard it a lot. I've heard it a number of times. Intrusive Thought says, at least Canadians will be able to come together and trauma bond as the Band-Aid is finally ripped off and they start carving this turkey. It's only just begun to be spooky and the nukes are 80 years old. What's in the tickle trunk is probably nightmares laced with Pervitin. Here's to the soft times. The carving has been ongoing, but it's not going to stop. Godzilla says, Ragecast appreciators can sleep well tonight with the comforting knowledge that although Pierre lost yesterday's election, he will still receive a government pension of $127,953 per year. If he lives to the age of 80, this will total $4.5 million. Well, that's good. We're glad that PP is going to be okay. That's what everybody's most concerned about. Swataika Daydream. I think he maybe spelled that wrong, so I mispronounced it on purpose. Has been listening for a year or so on Spotify. Finally caught you live. Thanks for all that you do. Love you, brother from the USA. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Back at you. I appreciate you guys that are, you know, the sane Americans. Likewise up here. It's basically 2%. 2 to 5% of every country is like the normal sane people that can think, and it's just the zombie hordes outside of that. And you know, it's just, you know, if this was a zombie movie, that guy is in his apartment building on the other side of the river where America is, and I'm in this one. We're just yelling messages out from the top floor out the window at each other because you can't go outside, you can't go down there, you can't go out there, there's zombies out there. So we're trying to— wasn't that a movie? The Dawn of the Dead. The guy was in the gun store and they're on the mall roof. Yeah, that's him. That's actually him in real life. Mega says, what's the difference between jam and jelly? CBC won't be able to jelly communist propaganda down your throat with additional government funding. Yeah, aren't they happy? A lot of people at CBC breathe a sigh of relief that their jobs are secure, and they'll probably be giving them even more money. Ceases they them says accelerate. Well, that's what the people voted for. They voted for let's get this show on the road. And they don't even realize. I gotta get through these chats before I start going into my just terrifying and toxic mental headspace, or else I'll get distracted. Cambie says filthy stinking hobbitses. Yeah, they are. They are gross. Bill Jobs says saw a video of the pleb leaving CPC headquarters in tears and freaking out that he was going to be sent to jail and his bank account frozen unless he fled the country. That's cute. That's cute. I'm making a decision here to not beat them while they're down. I'll give it a minute. But Intrusive Thought says sometimes you've got to roll a hard six. You do have to do that. But yeah, a lot of people wanting to know, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Election this, election that, and, you know, make a video. I did make a video. I did prepare a video. I couldn't think of any other way to really explain and extrapolate and kind of paint out how I felt about all of this going on. So I made this video, and I'll play this for you now. And it's fairly short. It shouldn't take very long to get through, but I think it sets the tone quite well. This is how much I care. This is literally more valuable. This is more helpful than everything, than anything any of these politicians have said or done. This is better than everything they've done. Look how much fun the parrot's having back there. Whatever that is. Pig doesn't care. It's wearing sunglasses, eating out of it. You know, everybody's having a great time. What are you fucking... He's so upset about. Absurdism beats nihilism. I don't care. I didn't care. I still don't. And a lot of people say that, but then when they can't help it, they get caught up in the hysteria and the it's like sports or something. My team, they think there's stakes. They think there's something, but there isn't. It doesn't matter. And it never did. All of the same problems that are fundamentally destroying us as a people and as a country, we're going to continue regardless of who was elected. It wouldn't have made a difference. So the idea that now so many people are knee-jerk reacting, grabbing, you know, for, I guess we're doing Western separatism now. Why didn't you do that last week? Why weren't you doing that a month ago? Well, I wanted to see how the election turned out. Why? Unless you believe that the conservatives winning actually would have made a significant difference. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? So if they've got their feet in both camps, you know, it's a lot of emotional reacting, and it's not based on any kind of thought and thinking. And, you know, that's been a long held goal of the United States for a long time, is to gobble up this country, and wrestling Alberta out of the hands of Canada would be the fastest way to do that. It would cripple us economically and put us in a desperate position of which we wouldn't be able to resist. And then the rest of Canada would be forced to follow shortly after. The way this place is set up, it's the whole thing would come apart. And I think this is exactly the outcome that the Americans wanted to have. I think this is exactly what they wanted. Trump certainly has made no secrets about his desire to acquire, he says, Alberta and the rest of Canada, it sounds like. And then he said, you know, what did he say, actually? I think I have the quote somewhere. There it is. Trump says he doesn't care if liberals beat conservatives. Well, that's not the one I wanted. He says, I'd rather deal with a liberal than a conservative. He actually endorsed Mark Carney on a couple of occasions on Fox News with Laura Ingraham. Ingraham? He said his treatment of Canada could propel the ruling liberals to win next election and lead a government that's hostile to the U.S. I don't care, he said. I think it's easier to deal with, actually, with a liberal, and maybe they're going to win, but I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me at all. Why would it matter to him? He took aim at the liberals' main opponent, Pierre Poilievre. The conservative that's running is stupidly no friend of mine. I don't know him, but he said negative things. He said, when he says negative things, I couldn't care less. So it's amusing to me that basically the entire effort to support Carney and the liberals was something to do with Trump and elbows. People are trying to engage in federal, national, international level political thinking with people who are about as informed as a 5-year-old. So this is obviously not going to work. It's a very big waste of time. The vast majority of these people did it because they think that somehow fighting Trump, that's what this has been equated to, because the media, CBC, has called Poilievre Trump so many times when they're not anything alike at all. Poilievre is nothing like Donald Trump at all in any way. conservatives don't like Trump. Poilievre doesn't like Trump. Most of their base doesn't like him. So this created this sort of feeling or sentiment that, well, if you don't like Trump, you should vote for the other team. It's this level of 5-year-old level emotional thinking that's going on, or non-thinking. For every person that can think, there are 25 who won't or can't. They're imbeciles and morons and they're lazy. And they watch whatever the news tells them what to do. They just did it with their children. They vaccinated them, put masks on them. They did all this shit. So what is the point in trying to engage people like that with actual thinking that goes beyond like the next meal? Every 4 years, they for 2 to 4 weeks, all of a sudden they're all experts. They're all politic experts. And they get engaged in this flag-waving campaign of this team, whatever color the team is, and my team against your team, and your team sucks, and my team's better. And there's really nothing more than that going on. And that's why they want more people to vote than ever. The more people that vote, the more idiots you allow in the voting pool. And idiots are much more easy to manipulate. And they're going to lower the voting age to 16. Why not 14? Why not 10? We did this already. Let's just fucking might as well just get into it then, you know. Everything is your fault, says Jen Stein. That's probably true. And Frostback says, I call them headliners. Never get past it. Okay. Already Carney and Trump speak by phone after liberals hold on to power. So they've already having their little talks there. They've talked a few times, and Trump has said some things that made it pretty inferred kind of recklessly that Carney was going to win months ago. When you look at the people he knows and is connected to, he's not just some guy that came out of nowhere. This guy's an elite level, high level banker. He's a banker and he's very well connected. He's very rich. He's got a lot of pull, and he was basically the shadow prime minister for the last, I don't know how many years. But in a roundabout way, he wasn't technically actually bro employed. So therefore he's not, open to scrutiny on a number of things that otherwise I have a video. Actually, I might play here. It's a few minutes long. It's about 5 or 6 minutes, but There's a fellow that lays out a lot of this stuff that is very troubling about this guy specifically, Carney. But it's just they're all like that at that level. But what's worse to me, why he's worse than Trudeau is that he's not stupid. Trudeau is very stupid. This guy's not. And Justin Trudeau became a name because of who his daddy was. He was connected. He's a dynasty family. You know, he didn't work. He didn't achieve anything on his own back. Carney did. This is a cutthroat, ruthless billionaire banker businessman. Not a trust fund baby with a part-time job teaching snowboarding. And he's playing for the same team. And he's going to have all the same weapons and things at his disposal that the last several iterations of this regime have had. And they only have those because the conservatives put them in there in the first place. This country has a serious, I mean, probably the world, right? But I'm not going to speak to that. This country has a serious problem with narcissism. I think it's the number one mental illness right now. I think most people either have a little or a lot of that going on. And how everyone behaved during this last election cycle is evidence of that. Because what was it based on? Plebs crying and running away. Is he like they're all doing? Why are they doing that? They don't even know what's going on. They don't know what's happening. They don't know what the problems are. They refuse to acknowledge them or look at them. They just want the blue team to win because that's their team. We have to get the libs out. My team has to win. That team's bad and my team's better. So my team has to beat that team for me to be happy. This is basically the left and right of arc of their thinking. And I said I wasn't going to beat up on them, and I mean it. I'm not going to do that because that's not going to be helpful to anyone. This is pretty much exactly what. Nothing about any of this is surprising to me, and many of them are sitting in, you know, besides themselves with disbelief and not understanding. What is even the conservatives' number one? What's their biggest complaint? Probably cost of living. Probably right. Everything's expensive. Can't buy a house. And the crime, all of these things are being heavily exacerbated by the mass migration or invasion. It really depends on what word you want to use. It's not immigration. It's just replacement. They're just wholesale replacing entire fucking towns now, including mine. It's been penciled in. You're next on the list. How many people live there? 2,500? Okay, you need 2,500 Indian men now. Whatever the population of that town is, or doubling. That's what the Century Initiative is. You can look into that and see the liberal hand in that. And here's the good news for you conservative guys, too. Because now the election's over, it doesn't matter. No one cares anymore. There's no point in beating up on you guys anyway because you're losers and you were never going to win anyway. But so it's just pretty much going to be right back to just the liberals, because that's who's in power. I really can't believe they blew it, but didn't even take a lot of effort on the liberals' part to, you know, get rid of them. The whole issue was Trudeau, and they knew that. And they knew that by putting in a new guy at the last minute, nobody's exposed to him, nobody knows who he is. All you got to do is make one good first impression, and it's done. And that's exactly what happened. All momentum was sucked out of the room. And they had no answer for it. They just sat around pandering to. I don't know why this didn't work.
Play Canada first for a change. Let's bring it home. Bonnet home.
Relatable.
Now get out and vote. Thank you.
Get out and vote for Calistan, it looks like. He says, get out and vote. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Yeah, it's a Calistan separatist crowd of Sikh Indians, and that's where he's spending his time. I can't believe that didn't work. Crazy. Oh, you know what? He probably just didn't do it enough. A couple more times with the turban on. Then. Maybe then. Tone deaf. And he lost a seat as a result. He probably faces uncertain future after the... We'll see. I mean, it's a minority government. They could have another election in a year. But... We'll see. Lost his own seat that he's had for... Oh, 30 years! Oh, it was projecting one of the most lopsided seat counts in 30 years. I thought he had his for 20. They say he has rock-solid support among the membership. Jamie Ellerton, a conservative strategist who worked for the past leader, Aaron O'Toole, who also lost. So here's your first tip, guys. Since there's really no point in attacking you anymore... Fire Jamie Ellerton right now as I'm speaking. How many times do you need to lose with the same fucking strategy before you understand that it is a losing strat? Three times, four times. Did he work for Andrew Scheer too? So that guy's got to go. I think he has rock solid support among the... Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. You're the Maple Leafs of politics. You blew a 30-point lead. I watched the Maple Leafs blow a 4-0 lead in a Game 7. That's what you just did. Other conservatives say his future is to be determined, given the Liberals will live to see another day. A big loss to a tired government that's been in power for 10 years. This guy couldn't do what needed to be done. He utterly refused to acknowledge that the ballot box question had changed to the bitter end, the source said, referring to the U.S. trade war. Well, you know, the focus group polling didn't come in fast enough. Pierre was standing out there with his finger in the air waiting to see which way the wind was blowing, but it didn't get in quick enough, and then he lost the election. He wasn't told what he was supposed to, what people wanted him to say. Now we're being mocked around the world. Humiliation. They're calling it the Daily Mail of the United Kingdom. Canada's Trump in quotations. Again, see, where is this coming from? This is the Canadian media. This is the... I don't want to call it the Canadian media. State media. CBC is state funded. They've been funded by the Liberal Party for a decade. Exclusively bailed out numerous times. And it's very, very obvious they are not a neutral news delivery service. They are activists. And they created this narrative and this story about, and this is why people think this. So if there's election meddling, that would be CBC. They can't just report on things and say what's happening and who, what, when, where, why is what they used to tell us was journalism when I was a kid. That's what the news was. Just the basic fucking, this is what's going on. That's not what it is anymore. And hasn't been for quite some time. It's very emotionally charged, very extreme, grotesque, and un-Canadian. So it's not surprising that they would wield this kind of advantage. How could they? How did they get everybody to do this? They own the media. The Liberal Party exclusively owns the media. They bought it with our tax money, which we didn't ask them to do. In fact, everything we ask them to do, they don't do, and then they do things we ask them not to do. That's how this works. I haven't spent a lot of time online. I'm sure there's accusations of cheating and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I thought this was here's one of the classic Canadian bootlicker, you know, conservative bootlicker counts as table. So is it time for Alberta to leave Canada? That was 2 o'clock this afternoon. So it didn't take, what, 14 hours? And now we're in back to separatist mode. Because, again, to be clear, because PP didn't win. Because if PP had won, what was going to happen? Besides you feeling better that your team won, because the mass migration was still going to keep happening. Probably more than ever, with direct flights from Amritsar. Crime was not going anywhere, despite bail reform, because there is nowhere to put the prisoners, because all the prisons are full, because we have too many criminals in this country. Many of them are being imported every day. Having millions and millions, and it's probably 7-8 million extra people in this country that shouldn't be here, that has a direct impact on the housing market, on the job market, on competition for spots in technical schools, in academics, universities. That was not going to be changed either. The conservatives were also going to censor the internet with a Common Sense Hate Speech Act. Led by the super Jewish Jews of Judish Jewishness of Canada, whatever the fuck it's called now. How many of these groups there are, I don't know. They weren't going to restore the firearms either. In the last few clips I saw, he said, oh, it's really easy to buy what you can get this and you can get that. Sidestepped it and avoided it. They weren't going to do any of that, guys. They're pro-Ukraine war. They're pro-Israel. They're pro-World War III. What was the difference going to be? Because let's face it, even if the conservatives started to do the things that you need to do to rescue us from this situation, everyone is so ignorant and childish and full of themselves, they would fucking freak out and demand that he be deposed and hung immediately. Because what you need to do is cut spending dramatically. We are so broke. Wait till you see what the liberals are going to do to get the money back. This is on you, boomers. You're going to enjoy this. You're going to like that one. You're going to like that one especially. What are we going to cut? It'd have to be massive cuts to a lot of things, and we would have to live rough for years. Years! To make up the difference of the damage that's been done, to just rebuild a foundation of economic sanity from which we can start to climb out of this hole, which would take probably 20 years. That's the truth. They can't say that, because no one would vote for that, because they're all children. They want to vote for me and stuff and things, and I want to feel good right now. I want to feel good right now. So all the politicians are going, we're going to give you everything you want right now. Yay! None of it's fucking real. It's a popularity contest on an island, Lord of the Flies. And there's still people that are seriously wrestling with the political question like it fucking matters at all. It doesn't, and it hasn't. And now they want to talk about secession. Well, we're just going to have to get the map again. Because this is just a great teaching aid, you know? But where are you going? Who's going where? What? You're going to separate. Oh, you're gonna separate, huh? Let me guess. By voting? You're going to ask nicely the legal, we're going to vote. Oh, who's going to vote? Because under 35... you're pretty much outnumbered, buddy. You want to see what the under 20 map looks like? Alberta is going to be India before it's going to be anything else. The cities are gone. Those are completely captured by this has been a plan that has been in the works for decades. Educational institutions have been captured. Why do you do this? You do this because that's where the professional class comes from. The professional class are your lawyers, your doctors, your engineers, people that end up in municipal office and federal law and all of these places. So if you're going to target a part of the population to kind of bring alongside your worldview of thinking, who do you want? Do you want to go down and teach all this cultural Marxism to a bunch of guys working minimum wage at McDonald's? Or do you want to teach it to people that are going to be judges? And they started doing this in the 60s. And once you have these people in place, you can start passing silly policies like sanctuary cities and open door policies and so on. And you're flooding the downtown cores and big cities with migrants from all over the world who are going to vote for more of those policies. And at first, people tolerate it and go, it's just a few, it's just a couple, it's not that bad, you're overreacting, what's the big deal? And now, well, actually, now we're outnumbered, and if you want to turn it back the other way, well, you're going to have to vote for that. And when you go vote, there's more of them than there is of you. You can't win ever now. Ever. You can never win. I don't think the conservatives will ever win an election again for the simple fact that you believe in democracy. And if there's more of us, there's more of them than there is of you, You lose. The end. We're not making more people. Our people are dying. Now they're recognizing, oh, there is a fertility crisis? Yes. Yes, I've been saying for years. And since the medicine time has come along, fertility rate, I guess. It's down over 80%. 80% less children. It's catastrophic. And their answer to this is, oh, well, we just need more Indians. So, I don't know why this needs to really be explained, but I guess Canadians haven't really given a fuck about their country for quite a long time, so why would they think any differently? Your nation, your people, you don't run it like a business because it isn't. You run it like a family because it is. That's what the nation is. That's what Canada is. A large group of people who are a large family, genetically related to each other, just like the Japanese or the Dutch or the Argentinians or the Nepalese and so on. What kind of... Imagine if that's how you ran your household. Or if you were the patriarch of a large family of like 40 people, or a grandfather or something, right? And you start, you know, getting rid of some of your own family, literal family members. Oh, that's my grandson. That's my nephew. And that's my cousin, Caitlin. Yeah, we're actually getting rid of them. And I'd like for you guys to welcome Gupreet, Palminder, and Jing Pumtao. That's your new, that's my new nephew, grandson, and cousin. Well, it's diverse, first of all, and they are good at computers. And Caitlin and the other, they weren't. They weren't performing. They were just poor. They were just poor. I could have paid to send them to school, or I could have done, but I was like, you know what? I can get these two Indians and this Chinese woman for next to nothing. In fact, I'll make money, and that's better for the business. It's better for business. There's no dollar signs on here. Is that how these countries came to be? Business. That's where these corporations came to be. That's where Amazon came from. That's where Facebook came from. That's where Brookfield came from. That's where BlackRock came from. And State Street came from. And Vanguard came from. Business. More money. We need more money. Money, money, money. We have any money. The pursuit of money is not what creates a country. the first tribes of people that get together and work together because mutually beneficial exchange of trade and labor. Oh, well, you guys are barely getting by on your farm. We're barely getting by with our lumber business, and they're barely getting by with their transportation business. Unless we all use this to help each other out. You can do that for him, he can do that for you, and you can do that. And now that there, look. As a team, we're all doing better together. And we can invest in our future, in our children. We can educate them. We can set them up with skills and resources that we didn't have so that they'll be better equipped for the next go-round, the spin of the sun. And we'll keep building upward and outward until this place is just perfect. At no time is anyone going, how much money am I going to get? Well, we're just worried about being alive first. Do we have food, shelter, water, and protection? Like, is that, let's start with that. The government can't spend its way out of a fertility crisis. No, really? Well, it's not really so much as a fertility crisis, Danielle, as it is a mental health crisis and a health crisis. Because you see, a lot of people are poisoned now and infertile because of the medicine time that all of the politicians recommended. And still to this day have not acknowledged any wrongdoing or harm to anyone. But you know what? I would argue against that, Danielle. I bet you could spend your way out of it. I think you would incentivize it. You incentivize anything else. If you incentivized having a home and a family over everything else, you would actually make money to do these things. You'd be surprised as to what would happen. But that's not how it is. The opposite happens. We're incentivizing the replacement of these people. We're incentivizing the destruction of our own people. And that's what the businesses are doing because it's good for business. It's good for business to replace Caitlin and everyone else. It's good for business. There's more money. It's like drugs. They just throw money at them and they'll do whatever. It's sad to watch, man. It's just a lot of very sad, weak people that never got it, you know. They're like 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're still just, you've been here this long and you still don't get it. You never figured it out, huh? You're still over there collecting money and coins and stuff. 67 years old. I got to get more money and stings. That's what it's all about. Getting money so you can have stuff to look at, I guess. Money can't buy happiness, can it? A lot of very wealthy people that are not well, very sad, very depressed, very empty inside. But, you know, let's run the country like that. That's not a problem. There's no moral problem. There's no spiritual problem. There's no real problem. We just need more money. We need to do what's good for business. That's why everyone's killing themselves in record numbers. That's why 70,000 people have chosen to take the government sponsored death chair because things are amazing here. Addictions are through the roof, and the leading cause of death between 10 and 18 year olds in British Columbia is overdosing on drugs. Oh, but you were going to go on to your, what was plastic straws going to be good for business? People of this country are living in a dark hole of depression and hopelessness. And your answer was to give them plastic straws. I would like to think that having this much of a devastating loss would prompt them to reevaluate, look in the mirror, and go, geez, maybe we're doing it all wrong. Is this three in a row? Is this three elections in a row where no one can believe that the Liberals were reelected? 25, 21, 19. Yeah. And every time your strategy, the conservative strategy was the same. We're going to do what's good for business. And we're going to be 2% different than the red team. We're only going to have two pronouns in our emails instead of three or four. And we're only going to have 200,000 Indians instead of 290,000 Indians every month. And the Liberals want to spend $10 billion on Slava Ukraine. Well, we're only going to spend $9.6 billion. Now, if you excuse me, I got to go put a turban on my head for the 15th time this week. Blow the biggest lead anyone's ever had in Canadian federal political history. And then cry myself to sleep in one of my many, many, many Sikh turbans. Wondering why the 40% of this country who doesn't vote because they're not inspired to, because they can't be bothered, because what's the point? There's no hope. I don't know why they just didn't come out and support you. Maybe you should have did brown face. Maybe. Because Justin did it and he got in three times. What's going on here? You got the system for total control. Maybe you should have promised to actually ship Canadian towns to India and replace them like person for person with Indians. That should have been on the platform. That's maybe next time. Saskatchewan, you're not getting off the hook either. You guys are all fucked up also. Oh, Diego Eames says the quote was from Ribbentrop in Hitler's War by David Irving. Weebo Ludwig says, I'm so glad Rosemary could live another day to liquidate another buffet. Well, I'm just glad we're going to see her die on TV. There's never been anybody at a higher risk for having a coronary live on TV than Rosemary Barton. And that'll be fun to watch. Remember when that nurse died live on TV? And then they gaslit everybody and said she was fine, even though she literally did die and they just never talked about it ever again? They're doing vaccines live on TV. She fucking dropped right there. Died. And people still did. I watched a woman do it in Saskatchewan. I went into the, I think it was a Walmart. I'm pretty sure it was a Walmart in Saskatoon. And the Walmart pharmacy there was doing the medicine time lineup. And I'm going by to pay for something to leave. I can't remember what I was buying. And there's the lineup there and all the... And I see that there's a commotion. So I kind of look over and there is a woman, you know, down. Lady is down. And there's paramedics there and they're trying to fucking whatever. And there's people just looking at her. and they're still giving out the injections. Like, next, and someone, they're literally, the line stretches past this woman unconscious on the ground, and people are going one at a time past her like this with their masks on. Oh, wow. So anyway, that's who voted. That's who outvotes you every election.
I'm gonna vote.
Yeah. This is to say nothing of any of the scams that go on. In the last election in 21, they found after the fact it was like hundreds of thousands of ballots were either miscounted, not counted. So anyway, a lot. And they just went, oh, well. Oh, and by the way, for all of you that aren't Canadian and are, you know, maybe tuning in for some reason, also, we vote in pencil. Yeah, we're not allowed to use pens. If you think I'm joking, I'm not. You have to use a pen to vote, to use your, do your exams in high school. In high school. Grade 10. No, you have to use pen. Why do we have to use pen, Mrs. Johnson? Well, because some of you could cheat. Because you could hand in the test, leave, find the answer somewhere else, go, oh shit, come back in, go through my shit, erase it, and write a different answer. After the fact. Oh, good point, Mrs. Johnston. Right. So that's why we vote, we do our essays and our tests in pen on the sheet. Because you can't go back and change that very easily. Much harder to cheat that way. I learned in 10th grade. Not when it comes to federal elections, though, in Canada. We only use pencils for some reason. Because pens are so expensive and they're such a short... Those little Bic pens, I mean, you can get a package of 20 of them for like fucking $3. It's backbreaking. We don't have the money for that. Pencils might actually be more expensive. Depends on where they're coming from. It depends on what Trump's fucking hysterical mangina tariff of the day is applied to. The price could be anything. We're really not sure. So, what am I implying? I'm just saying that Canada votes in pencil. Unlike children who must do their tests in pen because we don't trust them not to cheat. When those same children grow into greedy fuckbag adults, they'll definitely just, everything will be legit. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. There was another time in 21, like back when I still pretended I cared, there was some polling stations that were reporting numbers, and then the numbers that were on the those were not the numbers. Those were blatantly not it at all. Joseph Stalin said, it doesn't matter who counts, or it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. Could you imagine we go through this whole exercise and like, yeah. There's just some fat guy balding with a comb over. He's hung over. He's wearing sunglasses. He's in like a dimly lit room somewhere near a computer. He's just chain smoking. People are sending him in the numbers reporting in. He's like, he's just clicking, you know, on all the things. Meanwhile, there's a generator that's just aggregating believable and probable counts for numbers, and he's just inputting those. It's already been predetermined. This whole thing is just a charade. It's just an exercise so people believe that any of this matters, when really the whole time it's just Fred in a shed. It's just Fred in a shed, and he's already got the numbers, and they're whatever. Oh, did you? Yeah, we don't care. We already projected what they were likely to be, and they're usually pretty accurate with these. Like, they can go within to the point that no one really questions it. Sounds about right, you know? Is it? Is anybody double-checking any of this stuff? Oh, there's very strict, there's lots of oversight. I'm sure there is. I'm sure it's a very secure system. Why wouldn't we trust it? I mean, after all, these are the same people who lost $200 billion. One time. That's just one of the things they've done. So, you know, it's basically the net worth of all of Atlantic Canada. So you lost Atlantic Canada somewhere. It was in my other pocket. I must have left it on the plane. I don't know where it went. Oh, well. Anyway, come do my pencil election. Did I also mention the Chinese own CSIS and the police? Come do my pencil election. In pencil. Get the libs out. See, I'm not bothered by any of it because I've accepted this reality 10 years ago. And there's lots of other people still clinging to this idea that if somehow somebody... If I just vote and then the other team will get in and then you can just let go of it and relax and not worry about it anymore. So you want someone else to fix your problems. You want to use a pencil and check a box and then there somehow everything's going to be different now. An international parasite mafia that's been deeply embedded into our country for decades and many others, which is internationally networking itself against us, is going to be undone by someone with a pencil and a ballot box, is it? Instead of driving 135, we were going to go down to 128. We'll get to our destination of communist land 6 minutes later than we would have with the liberals. Oh, fuck! We were so close to buying another 5 minutes of ignorance. Is that what this is? Is this what this was about for these people? You just wanted to feel like you wouldn't have to deal with it for a little while longer? You don't want to get out of bed, huh? Oh, you don't want to get out of bed? Really? I'm sorry to hear that, sweetheart. I know it's cold out. It's the winter time. Yeah. That's right. It's winter training exercises, and you're in that Arctic tent, and somebody's kicking you at 4 a.m. Get up. Yeah. I don't want to. Nobody wants to. Nobody wants to, but it's time to, and you got to. Because if you accept that, and believe that this system doesn't work for you, it doesn't represent you, and there's every indication that it hates you. This is a charade. None of this leads to any real conclusive difference in anything that matters. So, if that's true, then, well, fuck. Now you got a problem, huh? They don't want to do that. They want to do, we're going to get the libs out, so I don't have to worry about anything. Oh, I see. I'll use a metaphor that more people can relate to. And this one is a better metaphor. You're just not going to do that school project. That's due tomorrow. Yeah, because I saw on the news, it's going to snow tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow, so there's not going to be school. School's going to be canceled tomorrow, so I'm not going to bother. Yeah, but what if it's not? Oh, it says it's going to snow like 25 centimeters. It'll be a big storm. School's going to be canceled, so I'm not going to do it. I don't have to deal with it. Something else, some outside force. I don't have to deal with something in front of me in my life because some outside entity is going to come like a tsunami and it's just going to wash it away and it's just going to be gone. So I don't have to worry about it. And then you wake up and you look outside. It hasn't snowed at all. Uh-oh. Now what are you going to do? Well, now I got to fake sick or something. And that's why people stay on the plantation, because they don't have the guts. They don't have what it takes. Because if you accept that and you leave the carnival tent, there's no heat outside. There's no shelter. There's no you're on your own. You're on your own in there, but they comfort you about it. And they pat you on the head. They fatten you up while they get ready to put you in the oven, you know, walk you into your next mass injection or your World War III or your, I don't know, diversity Olympics as an SUV plows into a crowd of people you're standing with and kills you or something. They won't. Men especially, who I lay the blame on. Because I'm a dirty chauvinist. I'm a piece of shit. I'm a fucking bigoted piece of shit. That's their natural. Some females are leaders, but generally it's 90-95% of the time they're male. That's their role. Is to deal with problems. Collective problems as the men of whatever collective that problem is affecting. They're supposed to. So if you're not doing anything, if you're all getting drunk and fat and watching the fucking playoffs, whose fault is it? Oh, are all these women supposed to go do your fucking job for you? Oh man, the friggin' yeah, what have you been doing about it? Besides whining! Whining and wow, did you put up a sign? Oh wow! Did you share a meme? Holy smokes, buddy! Oh! Watch out! Coming through! Big dick on campus! Everybody, look out! He shared a meme! From an anonymous account! Wait till the Fenian rebels hear about this level of dedication. They don't want to give up their comfort. His fighting's uncomfortable. And you might lose things. They'd rather stay comfortable. So what it really comes down to is they just don't want it. They don't want it bad enough. So they don't deserve it. I'm not in the mood to go try and help anybody that's not even trying to help themselves. If these numbers of people who are beside themselves with grief, oh no, oh, what are we going to do now? Where was this urgency in the last 5 years? You're just emotional. You're just emotional, and in 2 weeks' time, you'll go right back to normal, and you'll complain and grumble and drag your feet, and that'll be that. I know this because I know you don't care, and I know you don't care because you haven't done anything. You voted and shared some memes and you went to the Oilers game and got blackout drunk. That's what you did. You cared more about that. Most of these guys, and I used to be one of them, which is how I know this so intimately, I knew every player on every team in the NHL. Many of their farm team players too. I was very carefully, it was very important to know all the ins and outs of what's going on there for some fucker. It's not, but I thought it was. Ask any of these guys, name me every three, there's 338 seats in Parliament. Who sits in all of them? And where are they from? You know everybody that plays in the hockey game and where they're from. So why do you know more about teenagers in America than you do about the men ruining your life in this country? And you're going to sit there and tell me that you care just as much as I do? You're not even being honest with yourself. Which is causing you mental illness. Another thing I've been observing to be true is that everyone's kind of noticed, everyone's going crazy, obviously, but the crazier they get, the more sane I feel. And I think why they're getting crazy is because they're damaging their psyche and their soul and their spirit by living in a lie every day, all the time. To some one degree or another, maybe a lot, maybe a little. But I believe this because I found it to affect me, and when I stopped doing it, I felt better. I felt unburdened. I felt clean. Not troubled by any of it, really. And that's because you have to accept some things that are true that maybe you don't want to. Face things you don't want to. Deal with things you'd rather not. But once that's all done, you're living in reality. You're not lying to yourself, most of all, about where you are or what's happening or what you're worth or who you are or what any of that. You can't lie. Because if you do, you're going to make yourself sick. Because you know it's not true. And I'm being vague in general for a reason, because this applies to so many things. But drug addicts, alcoholics, people that are just not very good at their job, creating excuses why they're not. I don't have a problem. No, I'm pretty good. I don't. You live in. Yeah, but you know that's not true deep down. You know that, and you're trying to install this fake software of reality on top of what's real, and it's creating friction in your mind. And you now have to navigate what you want people to believe or what you want to believe or both with what deep down you know is true or not true. And you have to now filter this reality through two levels of shit. And this fake reality that you've constructed for yourself, where maybe the government is benevolent, where safe and effective, where, you know, sometimes genocide is necessary, whatever it is. That is going to carve off, and it's going to take a hard right turn into a whole other dimension of possibilities, of worldviews, of things that you're going to have to adopt to maintain that initial break from reality. Because if that's true, if you believe that, well, then you also have to believe this. And the next thing you know, you're tumbling down this pipeline like a demented Super Mario Brothers game of just... This is how you end up with people that believe 25 different things that are all in conflict with each other that don't make any sense. And you look at them and they're, you know, a Gotham City goblin person. And I'm cutting my penis off. Like, probably. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, man. Advanced stage mental illness. Nobody is healthy. And then one day goes, you know what? I'm all of the sick now. I have a million disorders, and I'm going to post them on Twitter. I'm going to look at all the problems I have. Like, I'm a champion of, look how sick I am. Go me. Why don't you just post pictures of how fat you are? So what you're telling me is that you've been neglecting your mental health so long that you've gone completely fucking crazy. Well, no one loved you enough to tell you that you were going that way, maybe. I don't know. That reminds me of that quote from the... I hope this is a real quote because it's amazing. I can't remember the guy that said he was a Russian engineer who then, I think, committed suicide because he was a whistleblower at Chernobyl. And they were going to, you know... bad things were in store for him anyway, so he just, you know, skipped to the end. He fast-forwarded to the end. He, like, said all this shit in court, and then they scrubbed it and pretended like it never happened. It did eventually come out anyway, but... Yeah, he was exposing some really stupid, selfish, idiotic. I mean, it's not because they're Russians. It's because they're human beings in an out-of-control authoritarian power system, and they're pieces of shit. That's just what happens, okay? And he's like, yeah, you got a bunch of people killed, and you did all this shit wrong. But anyway, the quote that he said was, every lie that we tell incurs a debt to the truth. And how much do you owe? You know, it can make you sick. I think it throws people off balance. And I think the more of these things they take on, whatever the newest firmware update of the month or week is that you must believe now, walk around with our elbows up today. You got to go along with all of it. Have you noticed that? If you oppose anything that the mainstream is doing, you're now the enemy. immediately because we're gearing up for war. We're in the early. They want to hurt you. They want to hurt people. They want to see people suffer. And they want to feel like they had a hand in making them suffer because they themselves are living in this artificially constructed fantasy world. They're in some severe mental and moral distress. You've seen them. Whee! They're not well. So they have to hurt someone else to feel better. It's your fault. Nazis! None of them are healthy. I've never yet to see one. They're all really gross looking. They're all on pills. They're all and it's like, yeah. Yeah, it's the world's fault that you're a sick, gross, fat, disheveled mess. And you need to stop, insert, you know, whatever it is. Is it white supremacy? Whatever it is you're mad about this week, put it in there. And that gives you something to do rather than look in the mirror and go, holy fuck, do I suck at taking care of myself. Yeah, go ahead, fix the world's problems. You know, can't control your own body, but go ahead, fix the world's problems. Fix the world's problems. Can't do a pull-up, fix the world's problems. Can't stop eating ice cream, but go fix the world's problems. Have three different disorders you can't seem to solve or get rid of or figure out or heal from. Go solve the world's problems, though. Oh, what's happening in Palestine? Oh, what are we going to do about that? Is it before or after your fucking three doctor's appointments? When is it before or after all your doctor's appointments that you're going to solve the world's problems? And solving the world's problems always seems to sound, it always ends up looking like destroying someone else. Tearing something down, canceling something, jailing somebody. Somebody has to get hurt. Something somewhere has to get smashed up or hurt or something, right? That's how we're going to solve the world's problems, says the sick people. Who demand that you fall in line with everything they want to do, or you become one of the world's problems to solve. Ugh. It's pretty demented. Legasov, is that the guy's name? Chernobyl? Valery Legasov? I think what's happening first, I have to go back to something for this to make sense, because there is science that suggests this is true. I've always wondered if it was on some level and that someday science would explain it. I've always been very good at what the kids call vibing. Can I get a vibe check? I get a bad vibe from that guy. That chick is giving me stab you in the face vibes. We gotta go. We gotta get a like empathetic. Like I know. I've always been pretty good at that. Just kind of sensing something. Somebody was upset or whatever. You know, like I feel it. I don't notice it visually and go, they're making a strange face. I'll be sitting in a room and feel, ugh, look around to see where the source is. And I'll look at someone and go, it's almost like the radiating, what's going on over here, you know? So it's called quantum entanglement. And what they're studying is that every particle in the universe is connected to every other particle in the universe. It seems like a mesh. Invisible mesh web that is all things are literally physically connected in some way in the quantum field that they're still trying to understand and explain and explore. Okay. So the quantum mechanics, everything's connected. There was a story Morgan and I found a little while ago about an island in the Pacific Ocean. think it was in the Pacific Ocean, somewhere near China, South China Sea, maybe. And the dominant animal on the island were these monkeys. It's a tribe of monkeys, hundreds of them. I don't know. And one day they discover that, I think it was either coconuts or some kind of nut or fruit that they had on the island. Let's just say coconuts for the ease of the... They figured out a way to open them way faster than they'd ever been doing it. They'd just been, you know, monkey, trying to rip into them or whatever the fuck. And then one of them figured out, if you do this with a rock, oh, fucking... So then all the monkeys start doing that. One sees the other one do it. Monkey see, monkey do. They all start doing it. But the weird thing is, another island, same species of monkeys, like 100 miles away, starts doing the same thing. How is that possible? Is it coincidence? Like they, both, like within days of each other, they both just like made the biggest discovery of all of Monkey Island? Drastically changed the face of monkey can opening forever? There's going to be big monkey coconut factories now. They're all going to be rich as kings within days of each other. Sounds like insider trading to me. Sounds like Monkey Island 2 is spying on Monkey Island 1. How's that possible? Well, what if they're mentally connected? I always wondered this also. How do animals communicate? Because they do. Dogs, wolves, they hunt in packs and they coordinate attacks. They know what to do somehow.
Right, you're going fucking that way. I'm going to go fucking that way. And then you guys run right down the middle. You flush them out. And then the other side, we're going to just fucking corner them. Okay, go. All right, go. 1, 2, 3. Wolf pack.
Like, that's not what they're doing. So how are they? What's happening here? Birds. How do they do? Dolphins. There's so many. Tigers. Lions. They don't have a language. No. They like grunt and make noises. I think dogs, our dogs, our pets, sometimes they seem to know what you're thinking or what you're feeling, you know? I think that on some level, quantumly, mentally, our minds are in the same range of the same radio tower. So like a collective human mind, all of the heads, minds in the world, maybe not even in the world. Maybe there's pockets. What kind of human mind are you? You know what I mean? I don't know. All people, could it be divided by race, gender, are the men and the women on different? Who knows? I don't think it specifically matters that much. But anyway, so my theory is what I think is going on. Especially as Canadians, there's a collective mindset and identity. And in America, in Australia, in many other places in the world. And what's happening is 20 years ago, 40 years ago, even 15 years ago, there was a much more cohesive center. Imagine what just one mind, that's everybody. And there's some that are on the outskirts, the perimeter. You've got a few that are way out there and not really, you know, but generally... 80-90% of them are located kind of here, clustered. Everything's, you know, generally okay. Now there's... How many worldviews are there, guys, that you could definitively say, categorize them as like major pockets of... Let's say there's at least three. There's at least three different versions of Canada right now, depending on who you ask what's going on. Where they're... vision and idea of reality is drastically different than at least two others. So now the collective mind is not here. It's literally being ripped apart and in multiple directions. So the collective stress and confusion and uncertainty and intimidation, all of these feelings that people are absorbing with it, it's being applied everywhere. And at the weakest points, it's fucking, oh, there they go. Went off to QAnon land. That one's gone. Because back here in the pocket, when everybody was all together, it required very little mental effort to stay centered compared to now. I think now it requires substantially more mental effort to not go insane. Like, you have to work at it. You have to, like, exercise. Like, you can't just, you know, get in shape and then go, there, I'm done, and never exercise again. No, you will get out of shape and you'll get fat and you'll, that, you have to maintain it. It requires a minimum level. A little bit fit, a little bit of work. Fairly fit, a fair amount of work. A really, really, wow, look at that. Really, really a lot of work. People were used to it not being that much work, and now there is some work involved. You have to think for yourself. You have to make your own decisions. You have to talk to people. Because nothing's, it's not clear what the fuck is going on anymore. Everybody out there's lying, especially if they're on TV. So on top of all the stress, mental stress, not even just affecting the individual, other people in the home, especially, I think in your family too, it's more intense. You know, people will say they know when they're a sibling or they're a father or somebody has died in their family and they just knew immediately. Somebody in my family told me that once. Actually, now that I think about it, they knew within minutes that their grandfather had died. And then when they got home, walked in the door, oh, your grandfather's died. He's like, I know. Just pedaling my bike and, oh, Grampy's dead. How does that happen? You know? I think you're more connected to your family. So maybe there's half your family's stressed the fuck out. You know what I mean? We're all collectively sharing a little bit of this burden, and it's like a network that can send off little data packets of stress and whatever is going on everywhere. Like when there's insane wars and shit going on in the world. I think that does collective damage. So now you have to actually work at it. You can't just mail it in. And by mailing it in, you could watch the news and be relatively, you know, that's more or less what's going on. You could go to university and you could listen to your professors and you 99 times out of 100, they were competent and knew what they were talking about. And if they said it was X, Y, then, you know, you could take that knowledge into the world and it would work. And you'd be like, oh, well, there you go. That's not true anymore. I've now grown accustomed to nothing working. Oh, call the customer service line. Either no one's going to answer. It'll hang up immediately. They won't speak English. Like this is how everything works now. Oh, the ATM ate your card. It is now disabled. Yeah. Yeah, everything's falling apart. So if people are already mentally stressed out, now they're encountering a world where you have to work even harder to stay balanced and centered than ever, and they just can't do it. And they choose the easy way. They choose what's convenient. They choose to vote. Get the libs out. Go play checkers. They want to go back in the circus tent and play checkers with Mark because it's more comfortable in there. Zanel says, in reality, the options go in order of likeliness to win the election. Liberals, communists, ethno-nationalists, socialists, communists, centrist nationalists. He says, went, not go. Frostback says, war between India and Pakistan means more money leaving and more jeets are coming. Yeah, I mean, first of all, who gave jeets nuclear weapons? Who did that? Can somebody find that for me? They didn't build those themselves. Someone gave nuclear weapon technology. I feel like this had to be, this is a Johnny Cash, like devil in a suit on the side of the road kind of situation. Like, how did they do this? There's no other way. Give me nuclear weapons. Snaps his fingers. All of a sudden, India's got nuclear weapons. But everything's covered in trash, and they raped all the dolphins to death. So it's a little bit of a wash. We don't make a Faustian bargain. I don't know. They've been nuclear powers for a long time, and they are. It does seem like they're going to fight again, or they always do this. But India, this is how greasy India is. Basically, they control the taps of the water that all of Pakistan gets because of the mountains there. It is in Indian territory, and they can just like cut the water off to Pakistan and thirst them to death. And they're threatening to do that. And Pakistan's like, if you do that, we're going to war. Like, we're going to nuke you because you're threatening our lives in existence. You can't fucking. And India's like, oh, no, sir, you must redeem. And I don't know. Now they're shooting at each other. There's border clashes. They've never liked each other. So basically, there was Jeetopia. It was all one big, big, long swath of jeetery and tigers eating them. And there was no trains killing anybody yet, but that was to come in the future. Now, if they could get tigers on trains as conductors, that would be fucking something. Do, 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 do. I want to watch that Thomas the Tank. Thomas the Tank Engine goes to India. Mr. Topham Hatt, there's a tiger on the train.
He's going to come with you. He's going to come with you, Thomas.
But why, Mr. Topham Hatt?
There are pirates on the side of the road, and Tony the Tiger will keep you safe.
Where's Derek? There's your book. <Go ahead. laughs> Subtly but not overtly racist Thomas the Train would be a big hit. Anyway. Terry Bollea. I don't know why I said that like Ron Burgundy, but Derek and Shane Sweeney had a funny back and forth about election robustness in Canada. Shane says he took one of the vote boxes home with him once while he was working a polling station. There's been some stories, man. And a couple of years ago, there was one of our friends, because you're not supposed to be able to do this, registered to scrutineer for every party at the same time. No one noticed. No one cared. And it's like, guys, no one's paying attention. No one anywhere is actually paying attention.
That doesn't happen in real life.
Yeah, it does. It happens all the time, actually. Especially if people think they should pay attention, but no one else is, they're not going to start because that's going to be a lot of work for everybody and trouble. And it's like, let's just fucking whatever. Nobody else is doing anything. Let's just ignore it. Remember The Big Short? You ever see that movie? It's pretty good. They did a good job of making a financial crisis exciting, which is... You know, it is if you understand what's going on. That's like anything. If you understand the ins and outs of the game or the whatever's happening, it's you understand the stakes. If you don't, it's boring. But The Big Short, it was Brad Pitt and Steve Carell. But that was basically the premise. They approached some. They didn't have enough money. They had some money, some millions, but they wanted to make this trade, which would have like they need as much money as possible because they're damn sure this is going to happen and they're going to get like crazy rich. So they're trying to go, they're going to approach other bankers for loans. It's like, why don't I give you all this money? Are you sure? So you're telling me nobody else is paying attention. Everyone's wrong. And you're the only two fucking guys that have noticed. And they're like, yes. And that was literally true. That's what happened. And they made a fucking shitload of money. They got Steve Burry on. And anyway, nobody's paying attention. So I don't know. Anything could be happening. There could be squirrels in those boxes. Would anybody even open them? Fred in the shed just punches the numbers in anyway. Yeah, Fred. Dude, he's got one of those old school. He's like a 90s accountant. He's wearing one of those visors that doesn't have the top on for some reason. That's where his comb over is. He doesn't really speak coherent words, just a lot of.
I'm good. You want 220, 1,000 more fucking 1,000. Yeah, call that one Nippy and for fucking whatever.
Hello. That's elections Canada. It's that guy. There's not even heat in there. It's just an old woodshed in Quebec on the other side of the river. That's how they're saving money. Because he's not located in Ontario? There's better. That's the best place they could find for. That's what they told him, right? You got to sit here in this freezing cold shed with no running water because, you know, government of Canada. Like, listen, it's for the best. We're definitely not just robbing you, you know, making you live below the line of your dignity so they can make more money or anything. It's the government of Canada we're talking about here. Jen Steen says, we all know you love the Jagmeet stench. I've never had the privilege. The police did follow me every time he came to the province. I only learned about this after the fact. And by learned about it, I mean just figured it out. Because I was like, why are they following me certain days? And Morgan, too. Like, were the police following you today? She's like, yes. Interesting. You know, all weekend. And then they left again for months. And then they're back again. But just Thursday. And they left. And then I was like, wait a minute. Every time one of these fucking clowns comes here, they're like, we got to keep an eye on them. Like, I'm embarrassed for you guys that you allow this to be done to you. Like, this is what you allow yourself to be used to do. I'm embarrassed for you. The hell is that? My phone's freaking out. Greg, what's up? He says, you're totally wrong about the election numbers. Rosemary Barton scribbles down a bunch of numbers at the end of the election night after drinking a box of wine. That could, well, maybe she and Fred had a thing and now they're split up and that's why she's out there now. He's alone, Fred in the shed. Barton on the booze. Barton on the box. Barton's on the box and Fred's in the shed, buddy. Fucking election's all wrapped up. Don't worry about a thing, boy. We fucking got her wrapped right up tight. Barton's on the box and fucking Freddy's in the shed. Is this seriously elections, Canada? Yeah, pretty much. You should see our military. You should see that. Jake Woods, thank you very much, sir. Adam says things. Says, on Quantum Monkeys, I can't count the number of times you've expressed a detail, new idea that I was having less than 24 hours earlier. I think it's because you look like my dad. How old are you? It's not impossible. Intrusive Thoughts says, if you change how a man views the world around him, then have you not, by extension, changed the world? That's right. That's why there's a lot more to politics than voting, actually. Voting is the least important thing, really. Jen Steen says, important stream tonight. No pressure. Thanks for all the laughs. Is it? Are any of them? None of them are really important. How many more of these we'll have left? We'll see. Zanel says, imagine how shitty your water must be to accept your water supply from India. Well, technically, it comes down from the mountains, but Pakistan's like, listen, it's we either have to take the dirty shit mountain water or we don't drink anything. It is very undesirable. That is why somebody gonna get hurt real bad. They're, yeah, you know, it's like, oh man, they're gonna nuke each other. They're gonna fight. Oh no, they might, because then where are all the refugees gonna go? Where are they all going to go? There is like 3 billion people between Pakistan and India. Maybe 4. Like most of the world lives in India and Pakistan. And then China. Like that's most of Earth's population. Just a giant ant farm. Jitopia. Way back when it was just one. Oh, right. And I never got to the. And then they're like, have Islam. And only, and that's when, that's why Pakistan is Pakistan and India is India. That was where the Islam stopped. So now they're mortal enemies. Fuck you. I only believe in monkey god. Fuck you. I'm flying carpet god. You know, that's what happens. And they kill each other. And then we have, you know, Canada will take 200 million refugees. There might be room. All the boomers aren't going to have houses. I should get to that, huh? Oh, we got lots of time. Jan Honkak, which is backwards for, anyway, or something like that. I hereby decry the need for a wall. Be built upon the border of Ontario and Manitoba. The lines have been drawn this time. They think they can fuck with their income earners. Ah. Damn it, man. Yeah. I'm just going to bite my tongue for now. Nut boy. Going to give you a hard fuck sakes. Couldn't be less surprised. The election was lost by the feminine product of two gay dads' household. Well, welcome to Loserville, Population Canada. Ferryman says, hail Carney, kneel before Carton. I mean, there. I like him better as a bad guy. Like, Trudeau was too humiliating to tolerate, you know? He was too goofy. He was too much of a fucking loser. Carney's, like, competent, though. He knows Ghislaine Maxwell, okay? Mark Carney is bros with the Epstein list. He's skillfully funneled a lot of money. Like, this guy's a gangster. You should hear some of this shit. I should play you this video. You might have to kneel before the Carn, or you might just... I don't know what he's going to do. I don't... He's not going to have any mercy, this guy. I think, in all seriousness, it's going to get bad. He's a fairly ruthless character, and I expect some pretty aggressive shit from him. This go-round, I think it's going to be something. Strange Bruce just came in to say it's the Jews. That's all. Come back on the brew soon. I'll let you know. Some things have to be done first. Cammy says, I went to vote and was told I already voted. I brought my own pen. Fuck all 338. That's funny, Cammy, because you're the second person we know to have said that. That exact same thing happened to Matthew, East Coast Canadian, in 2021. Or was it 2019? Hadn't voted his whole life. He said, I'm finally going to vote for the first time. And they said, sir, you've already voted. He said, how long have I been doing that? Exactly. And he voted for the Liberals, by the way. Did you? Did you vote for them? Did you stealth vote for the Liberals? Because you never know. If it happened one time, like, are they identifying people like statistically who are unlikely to vote? Like, he's this old. He's never voted. Statistically, there's less than a 1% chance they ever do vote. So if we take all these people and we make them vote for us, less than 1% of them will ever discover it. It'll be such a small number that it won't be widely. We'll get away with it, essentially. Is that what's going on? Why not? Because when you know they lie and you know they cheat, at anything, once they've been caught lying and cheating once, they've already crossed that barrier. What does Derek always say? You can do 100 great things and suck one dick. Nobody's going to remember you as anything else other than the guy that sucked that dick. Once you cross that line, like, well, now you're somebody that does that, aren't you? Now you're somebody that lies and steals. So what else are you lying about and stealing from? And so have you. So... And for the last 10 years or so, I just want to point out the track record of the so-called conspiracy theory people. We're batting like 700 right now. We're hitting like Hall of Fame numbers right now. We're having a Ken Griffey Jr. They're encouraged to take steroids kind of a season right now. Maybe 750. I don't know. And that should have been let. I mean, listen, COVID, that was a grand slam, but they're not counting that one. They're saying that was a foul ball. That was not a foul ball. at all. So they're cheating and they even, anyway. Evil Carney. I should play that video. Justice for Father says, buddy, hockey night in Can China, Philip. I mean, maybe. They may petition to change the name, put some Chinese symbolism on it. I mean, they own enough of the country and its politicians that, you know, what are we going to say? Like, I don't see your name on it. Oh, wait, there it is. You're just going to start seeing Chinese characters just branded right into the faces of people in Ottawa. The hottest new trend taking over Parliament Hill. And we do it to show solidarity with our new training partners, the Chinese. And that one. In the background, there's a van. There's just an unmarked panel van. There's some Chinese guys sitting there with a bunch of tech equipment on, smoking. Yeah, you tell yourself whatever you have to. You, my bitch, and you write it. I own you. Ooh, that's all right. Say the rhyme. Say how good the China is. Ooh. That might as well be happening at this point. It's fucking so blatantly obvious. Oh, Mr. Carney, why is all of the Chinese money going your way? And why are the Chinese going to bat for you? And why is there so much China? Why are you Chinese right now? Have that man killed. These fucking people ask him these questions. They go, nothing happens. No one cares. Everyone's a five-year-old anyway. They don't understand what any of this means. They go, I am my team beating blue team. My team and elbows. Trump. You can't. Don't try to approach these people with questions about anything. They're not. They're barely even humans anymore. It's, man. We went to that protest, whatever that was, the anti-Jeremy rally. That was the really most surreal part of that, was just that many mentally ill people in one place that are not, they don't even know what they're mad about. They're just, and they're everywhere. And how are we going to have even anything looking like a soft landing when every second person that you see is out of their mind? That's not me, you know, selling doom pills. That's my honest assessment. I feel like half of the people walking around are mentally ill enough that in any other circumstances, they should be getting help. And they'll say that about me and people like me. Yeah, I'm not on a bunch of pills. I don't, I'm pretty healthy. My life is very well balanced, under control. I don't have any. You, on the other hand. It's not the zombie apocalypse we wanted, but it's the one we deserved, maybe. Brian says, so true about dogs. My German Shepherd would be asleep and I'd think about going out. She'd wake up and go lie by the door. Whew. Interesting. Rupert Sheldrake wrote about this. Yeah, I think, you know, how do animals communicate? Because they clearly do. And it must be some kind of nonverbal mental thing. Like, not, I don't think telepathy. I don't think they like hear voices. It is cool though when it happens. I mean, there's been a few times in the army I can recall stuff like that. And where you just like, nobody needs to, you just, we both know what's about to happen, what we're going to do. And, you know, and it just worked. Yep. We didn't, it's like, oh. Read each other's mind. Like, sort of. They actually did some studies on this with the Gateway Project in the CIA in the United States. the Russian KGB program. I don't remember what it was called, but they're doing the same kind of things. And no doubt the Chinese are doing it or have done it or doing it still. With these remote viewing tests, which sounds fucking crazy, but it isn't. It is a thing that they've been doing. And one of the guys who was the guy, McMonagall or McDonagall or McMonagall. He sounds like a made-up name, but he's... McDonagall. But I can't remember his fucking name. But anyway, this guy was like impressive. He had like a really high success rate, and he has done like documented. He in his mind could see the Russians building this new class of submarine that was three times bigger than any submarine on Earth. And it was in the middle of nowhere, like nowhere near the ocean. And so what happened was the Americans saw this with a spy satellite and were like, what the fuck is going on there? We don't know. So we can't find out. So like, fuck it. Give it to their weird, spooky psychic guy and see if he can figure it out. And he does. And he's like, it describes it in detail. He's like, there's workers moving around. There's trucks. It's this tall. It's this big. He's like describing, like he's not a military. He doesn't know what class is, but he's drawing it, right? And they're like, that's retarded. It's nowhere near the ocean. Why would they, you know, that doesn't make any sense. A couple of years later, the Russians unveil this submarine, and it was exactly as he had described it, and it was where they said it was. So he fucking saw that with his mind. That's real. They wrote that down, and we're like, well, that's creepy as fuck. Anyway, his theory is that he thinks everybody has the ability to do this, and I tend to agree with that, and that because we developed not only verbal language, then written language, and we kind of went like a technological route to communicate and started losing, and we are still losing more and more of our instincts that we used to have hundreds, thousands of years ago, maybe. Think about this. The oldest human skeleton that they're aware of, because I've been saying this recently, it's like, I don't know how far, I know it's a long time. I thought it was like 100,000 years. It's 370,000 years. Okay, the oldest known record of a human skeleton, as in right now today, same bone structure, they would have been as smart and capable, like the same as us, the exact same species. So we didn't have... strange, we didn't evolve. 350s, or maybe it's 370, something like that. So we have 3,000 to 5,000 years of written history. So we don't know what happened for 99.995% of all time or something like that. So that's fucked, you know? Who knows what we, and you know, these old ruins all over the world, all the pyramids, all this stuff, like what has happened? What is going on? I think we're just what's left. The entire world got destroyed, and this is what's left. This is what's been rebuilt since the last time it was annihilated, whatever that was. Why, how, if I could, we'll probably never know, and that's a shame. But 300 and, you know, anyway. It's certainly possible. They know that, you know, through multiple examples of who's studying history, it takes between 2 to, on the long end, 5, but 2,000, because we go from any, like, earliest known recorded history and then estimations from when there was, like, cave people to civilizations, food networks, agriculture, trades, you know, navies, all the fucking, 2,000 years, 2 to 5,000 years. So, how many civilizations was that come and go in 300? You know what I mean? And nothing would be left is another thing people don't understand. Like steel buildings would be gone in just a few hundred years. They would be nothing would be left. It would just be disintegrated. It rusts, it corrodes, it falls apart, it turns into dust, and then it's gone. Concrete doesn't last very long either. A couple hundred years, you know, plastic is like 100 years. A lot of this shit is, it's not even last very long. Basically, stone and rock are the only things that really last. And then you wonder, geez, all the only things that are left of any, they're just big stone rock. Yeah, I wonder why that is. Maybe they did that on purpose. Probably did. Because everything else, fucking gonzo. There's nothing left. Except some places. Göbekli Tepe is this place, and I think near Turkey. They buried it intentionally. Like the way the soil, I don't know how it was. There was a city there that is older than the pyramids, but it was buried intentionally. Someone tried to hide it or preserve it, or who the fuck knows? I don't know. But anyway, crazy stuff. Some crazy stuff going on, guys. Anyway, we don't know what's happening. And so McGonagall thought that. McGonagall. I'm the CIA psychic McGonagall. Joe McGonagall. Is that his name? I don't know. Anyway, thanks, because we went the technological route, pens, papers, typewriters, radio, blah, 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 you know, all of this stuff. And maybe we had an instinct and an ability to, you know, communicate by other means, and we just don't use it anymore. We forgot how to use it and don't train it, and it's super fucking weak now. Imagine if someone, if people are in a wheelchair for a very long time. You see what happens to their legs? What if everyone was always in wheelchairs as far as they can remember? And they're like, yeah, that's just what legs are. And then every once in a while, like, every 1 in 100 million people has like fully developed legs and just runs by. And like, what the fuck was that? That was Joe McGonagall. How did you do that? I don't know. I was just born with legs. Whee! Running around. You're like, what the fuck? It's like, oh, you guys have legs. You guys just have shitty ones. I mean, you could train them. I can? Yeah. Have you just been sitting this whole time? Yeah. Oh, well, fucking. Should have been training like McGonagall, Spalagall, McDonagall, Monagall. Listen, you're going to go crazy, guys. You gotta take it easy a little bit, because it's fucking into the country, all right? It's going to hell. Fuck, you have to fight each other. Entropy's down. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? I figured, because I looked at the chat, I was like, it hasn't moved. Either everyone's dead or I'm dead, or entropy went down again. That's probably more likely. I feel like otherwise I would have noticed. I would have noticed a meteor. I'd be so mad. It hit everybody but you. Of course it did. Is it back? Are we back? Can I go back to ruining everyone's life, please? There we go. Right. Jensen says, give Phil a ball tickle for Carney, and CRJ swallowed one of Phil's balls. Why did it's not a family show, but at the same time, you know, I don't know. Let's just get this over with, for God's sakes. Mind webs and fucking Joe McGonagall, McSponagall, Monagall. Nobody's going to be able to make any sense of this stuff. Where were we? Pierre's humiliated, yes, so bad. Can't believe his speeches didn't work. Like this one. This is another great one that he used.
That your origins don't matter. What doesn't matter where you come from, it matters where you're going, whether you've been here for 6 months or your family for six generations. That was the promise that every single Canadian was born into or arrived to receive when they came to Canada. But after the law...
When they arrived to receive when they came to Canada? You mean like my family that came here on a moldy old boat? And like people died of dysentery and scurvy and shit, had to throw them over. And then they landed here, and there is nothing here, and they had to like carve it all out of nothing in like the winter time. And more people died, obviously. And this kind of went on for a while, like a few generations before the province was even really built up. And then after that, there was still considerable. The Depression was still to come. A lot of things were still to happen. So you're making it sound like airports and things have always just been a part. Oh, they just came because they knew they were going to get subsidies and work in some way. Where are you right now? He's never lived in real life. He went to university and then became a professional politician. He's never held a real job. He's never known real normal people. I don't think he's ever done anything that would have, you know, ground him in what reality is. Can't believe he lost to this guy. Buckle up. I could just, you know, repeat a lot of this stuff, but this guy made an interesting video. Interesting video. Morgan keeps talking about him like this. Just because you think he's hot, you don't have to. He's like, no, I don't. I'm like, oh, well, I fucking, we'll see. Fair play. He's jacked. Good for him. But There's a few minutes on old Carnival here. And I think that the value here in this presentation, because they're all bad, you know. Duh, so what? Newsflash. But this guy is a particular kind of bad guy. It's not that he's, you know, corrupt or any of these things. It's just the way he goes about things and the way he does things, he's very, well, you'll see. It's worth knowing what you're up against, you know? It's worth knowing who is on the other side of the field.
Through this, Mark Carney is an absolute genius. He's been playing chess this entire time, and we've been peeling potatoes. I called it wrong. I kept reviewing his tenure at both banks in England and Canada. The numbers weren't well. Deficit increased 18 times. Deficit doubled. And I thought, this man is just dumb. It doesn't line up with his education. And then I looked deeper and deeper and deeper, and the conflict of interest that I have discovered is astronomical. And the surgical precision at which we've been duped is staggering.
Deeper with Sponicle McMonocle.
This is going to blow your mind. There's a 95% chance of probability with a succession of the events that I'm about to describe to you. So we all know that Jagmeet won the by-election in 2019 and took his seat in Parliament. In August of 2020, Mark Carney took position as vice chair at Brookfield Asset Management, one of the largest asset management companies in the world. In the fall of 2020, Mark Carney is appointed as economic advisor unofficially to Justin Trudeau pro bono, which means he is absolved of any illegal conflict of interest and does not have to disclose anything. Completely exempt. In November of 2020, Brookfield Asset Management announces Brookfield Asset Management Reassurance Partners Limited, located in Bermuda. We're still at the year 2020. Jumping to 2024, I will mention quickly.
Who sees where this is going already?
That Mark Carney met with the Chinese president. Come back on that later.
Oh!
May of 2024, someone is appointed
as... He's got cool friends, you know? For a guy who's just a random banker.
The CFO of Brookfield Asset Management. I won't tell you who that is because it's very important, and I'll get to that in a moment. August 12th, 2024, Chandra Airy visits the PM of India with that same CFO for an unsanctioned trip, of which CSIS did notify the Liberal government, but nothing was done about it. Come back to that. September the 4th, the coalition agreement is terminated. This is a very important point because all of the control the Liberals had is now about to evaporate. Everyone acknowledges the only thing keeping them in power is the fact that Jagmeet needs to make it until February in order to get that pension. So keep that date in mind. February is their deadline to officially execute a plan. 5 days
later... I'm going to say this video is probably made in January, it sounds like.
Later, Carney was appointed by the Liberals' task force on economics. He's the only person still pro bono. Because he's not appointed by the PM, he is still absolved of any illegal conflict of interest. And this position gives him more leverage with the people and with the companies and with the business partners that he's dealing with. Extremely calculated move. Also, September 2024, Brookfield Asset Management solicits the federal government for $50 billion. 36 billion proposed, 10 solicited, and 4 from Brookfield themselves. No further details available on that one. October 31st, Brookfield announces plans to relocate the headquarters to New York from Toronto. Very important, as this move completely reduces Canadian government oversight that complicate conflict of interest. December 20, 2024, Brookfield has a shareholder meeting for the vote and restructure plan. Early January 2025, that move is approved. January 2025, Brookfield relocates to New York. You should be asking yourself right now why the asset company would want their headquarters moved to another country. The relocation shifts jurisdiction, further limiting financial access. They are no longer on the Canadian business registry. January 16, Mark Carney resigns. Bear in mind, he's proactively moved all of the investments, including Brookfield's, to an offshore account in Bermuda. That is now a foreign company, and it is virtually impossible to verify or access the portfolio, or investments.
Damn.
The same day, he announced his candidacy for the Liberal Party. January 25.
The same
now
day.
Comes the juicy parts. Chandra Arya is disqualified from the Liberal Party for being manifestly unfit. It's about to get good. February 25th, 2025, Jagmeet officially qualifies for his pension. Now the deadline has arrived, and it is time to surgically penetrate Le Government. March 9th, Carney wins the leadership race. March 14th, he signed in as PM. Now is when I tell you who the person is that Chandra traveled to meet the PM of India with to negotiate multi-billion dollar deals. It was his son. Chandra's son is the CFO at the same company that Mark Carney was vice chair. And here's the brilliant moves. A new PM has 60 days to disclose their investments. Mark Carney calls the minimum legal allotted time for an election, which is 36 days. So the election will be over before he makes any disclosure. We still have a problem. He doesn't have a seat. The process to get a seat, which gives a lot of credibility to speak in the House of Commons, is also a minimum 36-day election period. The problem there is that this puts him past the 60-day disclosure period, and if he doesn't have a seat, this information might destroy his chances of getting that seat. So on
good March thing he won.
20th, 2025, they revoke Chandra Arya's nomination, and Mark Carney gets his seat. For all intensive purposes, Chandra gave him that seat. The succession of events all the way back to 2020 have been premeditated at a 95% chance. Mark negotiated a $250 million loan in October last year, met with the CCP in May of last year, advised the federal government to make investments in the exact same project as Brookfield, which he is 100% making profit from for the next 15 years. This man is one of the coldest, most calculating people I have ever seen. And the fact that Brookfield relocated its headquarters appears to me that they are fully under the impression that Mr. Carney can manipulate policy in order to increase the net profit tenfold. And he's already done it.
Jesus Christ! Tony the Tiger attacked me there. You're supposed to be in India with Thomas the Train. Why are you at the end of this guy's video? Robin F. Hillier, whoever that is. Splendid presentation. You know, so you have a little bit of a better idea of who you're dealing with. Oh, no, we're just going to vote. Oh, that's cute. Were you going to vote against the International Criminal Money Mafia? Oh, with your pencil? Did you use your pencil to vote against that shit? Did you really? Oh, maybe you should get a petition. Maybe you should get a petition. Oh, I know! Another convoy! I didn't want to get out of bed. Cold out. I'd really like for you to get out of bed, though. It's a lot harder to get run over if you're not asleep in a bag right on the middle of the train track. It's not a good place to sleep. I don't know why nobody told you that. I don't know why you didn't know that instinctively. They're calling everybody's bluff. Why would they stop? They've always gotten away with it. They've gotten away with everything. Everything. They just pulled off all of COVID. And people seem to think, oh, well, we'll win an election. And then all of this will go away. We'll go back to normal somehow. after they've just demonstrated they can basically puppet the world in any way they want to. But, oh, they'll respect the rules as they trample your Constitution and your Charter of Rights. You just vote them out. Dagoine says, Donald McGonagall says to get his name right already. Wasn't it? I don't know. The Frostback says, what do you think of your... Chip, what do you think of your opponent, Homer Simpson?
He's a good man. I've got nothing against him, but I'm definitely going to make orphans of his children.
You know, they did have a mother. They do have a mother, champ.
Yes, but I imagine that she would die of grief.
Oh, yeah, good point, good point.
Jensen said he didn't even kiss his wife when he'd won. I'd make that crypt keeper wet. Oh, my Lord. Are we doing this already? It's been a day! It's been one day! It's been one day, and we're already making disgusting sexual comments about what is... So, okay, oh, great, Freeland's gone, but here comes Jensen with the... Yeah, grow up. It's right. Jennifer's right. Grow up. How dare you? Keep your heads on a swivel, says Ken Carney Box. He doesn't have to. He just goes like this and then, you know. Who's there? Who's over there?
Goons.
Goons?
Hired goons.
Hired goons? That's who comes to your house. That's how the anti-hate bill is going to be enforced, actually. People don't know that. Hired goons will just come, just Russian guys, just Slavic guys speaking broken English, wearing tracksuits, you know, strange tattoos of stars on their necks. It just like if you went into a bar and there was tables you could sit at, you would go, that's the last table I'm going to sit at. Like, I'm not sitting at that one. For because I have eyes, that's why I won't sit there. You know, that's who's coming after you. That's who's going to enforce it. Intrusive thoughts says, poll was called 5 minutes ago. We've been waiting in the collection point. Poll. He says, who's still in their bag? Yeah, there's always somebody that doesn't want to get up. Usually me. Oh, so it didn't work. It didn't work. And the NDP. Oh. Did you like that? So the reason was not that Chandra or whatever her name was like, oh, it's because she said the immigration stuff. That's why they... No, they just needed her out of the way because it was part of a bigger plan to just install this guy, basically. He just chose to... I'm going to be prime minister now, I guess. Let me just move all this money around. Let me just work off the books in Parliament. So technically, actually, bro, you can't come after me for anything. Let me just stuff all this money in Belize with some Chinese guys and never tell anyone about it. I'm going to fly out of there on a private jet with Xi Jinping and not, you know, no one asked me about that either. Bring it home. Shut up. You're a mid-level guy. You weren't what they were looking for. Here. They had a better option in mind, and they decided they're going another way. But it's my turn. No. I don't think so. So, this is really not going to be good for some people. Where is this? No. Why can't I find this? Oh, well, this is worth mentioning also while I look for that. So how did this happen? You know, who is voting for these people? Boomers and immigrants. One of the guys was at Fortisax or somebody nailed that weeks ago. He's like, how old were you? Where were you when you realized this election was boomers and immigrants versus everyone else? And that's exactly what happened. So it says Canadians over, this is from America First Post, Canadians over 60 ranked reducing the cost of living, making Canada a better place to live, and household housing affordability as less important than, quote, dealing with Donald Trump, whatever that means, while those aged 18 to 29 prioritized the reverse. Imagine. So 60 and over is the red bar here. Dealing with Donald Trump. Most important issue by far. By far. Managing the debt. Not important. Making Canada a better place to live is of no concern at all. None. Making housing more affordable. No concern there either, because boomers are like, oh, I've already paid for my pool. I've already got paid. I'm vested in it, buddy. Well, it doesn't matter to me. Oh, really? You know what you just voted for? I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm going to give you a little nightmare for you to go fall asleep to. We went hard on the boomers last time, too. And again, I have to, because they're very sensitive. I have to have a disclaimer. Fairy has to do it. We all have to do this every friggin' time. They go, what did he say? Let me see what's going on. Settle down. We weren't talking about you. Generationally, though, that age range is pretty fucked in the head. Good for you if you're not one of them, but you cannot deny the reality, sir. Let me introduce those people to a new fact of life. You're going to want to get wrap your head around this. The sooner you do, the easier it will be when it goes in. You know, like you want to relax. You know, if you fight it, it's worse. You know, so you want to bite down on something, maybe, if it helps. But, it's just, they're always looking for money, aren't they? And they just always seem to spend it all and can never find any more sources. They tried unlocking the savings. There's the carbon tax, which was on top of the fuel tax, a tax on a tax. Never-ending increasing taxes and income tax. Well, now, you know what? You know what they've noticed? That's a lot of home equity you've got there, boomies. Oh, you got multiple houses, huh? What are they valued at? $1 million each? And you don't pay taxes on that asset, do you? You don't? Well, maybe you should. Equity tax is something you're going to want to get used to wrapping your head around and hearing about and talking about and exploring the wonderful world of taxing you on shit you've already paid for. It's going to be great. And some of the numbers suggest it might even be 5%. You know what the average house price is right around now? Around here? Like, when I bought my house, it was for $260,000. Now it's valued, for some reason, at $500,000. So a 5% tax would be $25,000 a year. Oh, are you retired? You got to come up with $25,000 a year. It's $2,000 a month. Oh, no, that's new. That's a new tax. Yeah, you weren't paying that before. Oh, you got two houses? Oh, fuck, now it's $4,000 a month. Oh, you got a bunch of buildings. Oh, you're a landlord, huh? Oh, you thought you were going to get generationally wealthy from property owning, did you? Yeah. So that's the new insane plan. We're going to tax your home equity. So if you've paid off your house and, for example, it's worth $500,000, you're going to have to pay a tax on that because it's an asset that you own that is appreciating in value depending on market conditions, which has nothing to do with you, but you're going to somehow be responsible for that. And I'm pretty sure you're not going to be getting a refund if the market crashes tremendously, which it may. But yeah, more expensive your house's value, the more taxes you're going to be paying. They've investigated doing this numerous times. The Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, a federal crown corporation, has investigated the possibility of a home equity tax on more than one occasion using taxpayer dollars to fund that research. This was not speculation. It was real documented work, and they've leaked this, I think, at least three different times. Liberals paid a group called Generation Squeeze, led by activist Paul Kershaw, to study how the government could tap into Canadians' home equity, including their primary residences. Your fucking home! Kershaw, by the way, believes homeowners are, quote, lottery winners who didn't earn their wealth but lucked into it. That's the ideology being advanced to the highest levels of government. The proposals were presented directly to federal cabinet ministers on record, and most of those same ministers are now a part of Mark Carney's team as he positions himself as prime minister. Yay. Yet when this was raised publicly, the online mob didn't want to talk about facts. They shouted it down. They didn't check public records, CMHC reports, or even the government's own briefing documents. Instead, they defaulted to the tired claim, conservative fear-mongering.
CBC said you, okay. My team win, your team bad. Elbows up.
You're going to lose your house now. How's that? Oh, wait. This is the... Oh, no. This is the part where somebody goes, that'll never happen, bro. Oh, okay. It'll never... Never mind. Oh, it won't happen. They're just $1.2 trillion in debt. Interest payments. Our national interest payments on just their debt, $54 billion this year. That's more than we spend on the military. That's more than we spend on healthcare. Interest on debt. 40% of the provincial budget in Ontario goes to healthcare. In Alberta, it's over $27 billion. Federal health transfers strained and interest rates rising. Provinces are being left to shoulder more. Government runs out of money if it doesn't cut spending, which Mark Carney has no plans to do. Looks for new ways to take it from you. Total home equity held by Canadians is $4.7 trillion. It's the largest pool of private wealth in the country. For millions of Canadians, especially boomers, it's the only retirement fund they have. They don't have pensions. They have a paid-off house and a hope it'll carry them through their later years. That's what Ottawa has quietly been circling. Because elbows up and Trump, doop-de-doop-derp, doop-de-doop-derp. So you've doomed your children, right? And you fucked yourselves over at the same time. It's really, it's fucking, wow. Phil, I mean, my goodness, you know? Wow. Nobody knows how to win like the Canadian boomers, you know? You showed us. You showed everybody. And then when that happens, there's going to be another convoy! And... Also, by the way, if you need a new vehicle, maybe get it soon. Because another thing they're going to ban, because they're all about banning stuff, is cars and trucks and machines that use gasoline. Yeah. You know, like in California and other insane places of the world that do these things. They plan to ban the sale of new gas and diesel passenger vehicles, you know, because it's climate change. They want to phase them out by 2035. So less than 10 years to go. poll found that women are more likely to oppose the gas and diesel vehicle ban than men. Wait, what? What? That is the most surprising thing I've seen all evening. That women are more likely to oppose gas and diesel vehicle bans than men. So let me get this straight. All this time, these women are like, oh, what? You think fucking driving a truck around? Because you got a little dick or something? Turns out they've been making you wet the whole time. And when they talk about banning the trucks, they're like, no, don't take the trucks away. I fucking need it. Oh, you're busted. You whores. Nice fucking try. Nice try. But the truth came out in the end, didn't it? Thank you very much, whoever wrote this. Noah Jarvis, whore slayer. That's what they call him. Noah Jarvis from True North, just cutting, just hates women. So that's coming. Oh, and let's check in on the law enforcement of the, you know, the current status quo. Small scale Alberta egg farmer was arrested by a SWAT team for selling eggs. Four vehicles to arrest this man, Hank Van Essen. For selling eggs. This guy who looks like just a random character out of a game. He's just like, that's what he would be in a video game. Who's that guy? Is he just a guy selling eggs on the side of the road? That's his whole con. Yes. Fucking, he's enemy of the state. Lethbridge area farmer was arrested Wednesday morning. This is the 24th of April in a dispute over egg sales with his daughter alleging the egg farmers of Alberta is targeting small producers to protect its quota system. Probably. Lindsay announced her father is arrested in a Facebook post claiming the EFA, fucking, they've got an egg cartel, opposes his ability to sell inspected eggs without participating in their costly quota system. I mean, the fucking guy's probably making like $100, you know? And you're like, no. We need, the billionaires need that $100. This morning, my dad was arrested because of chickens and because of eggs. He's being held in Lethbridge. Five RCMP vehicles arrived to arrest him. Wow. Well, I'm glad they aren't taking any chances with old Hank, the fucking egg villain. He's right out of Batman. That's the scary. What is he even doing? Those eggs are probably poison. Look at his face. Oh, happy Easter. Oh, he's probably one of these fucking Christian psychos, too. We probably better burn him alive to make sure. This place has lost its mind. A 15-year-old has died from an overdose from a safe supply prescription. Campbell River RCMP offered their sincere condolences. A 15-year-old tragically passed away after taking hydromorphone. That's dilaudid. That's opium. It's basically heroin. A non-prescription cough medication. Because it's a safe supply. This will save, it saves lives. Like this 15-year-old didn't. The answer to stopping the drug menace is just give it to them. Give them the highly addictive, destructive substances. And then they'll die faster? I don't know. Like, no one is a functioning heroin addict. There is no one who has a regular consumption of opiates and is stable. They are either in decline or they are dead. They just decline until they die. Become homeless. They just, you know. And it was these fucking doctors, man. Top doctor, trust your doctor. They all got paid to prescribe this shit to people, and everybody's addicted to it. And a lot of the people who are, you know, you see, like, why is a 15-year-old on that in the first place? Maybe somebody's dad got hurt at work. And that father's kid stole some of his pills because they thought it would be fun. Because kids do. And now they really liked it a lot, and now they're fucking junkies, and now he's dead. Oh, the dad's dead too, also, because he never recovered from the drugs either. It kills a lot of people and destroys a lot of lives, and they're allowed to do it.
Because it was good for business.
Was that good for the people? No.
It was good for business. It was a business decision. Look at the revenue. Look at the profit margins. Are you seeing these balance sheets right now?
How does this happen? This happens because you ran your family like it was a business. You treated your family like employees to be hired and fired and traded and discarded, promoted, and you know, like they're just other cogs in your fucking machine to make money. That's how you're running the country, and oh Jesus, falling apart. I wonder why. Because we're not robots. We're people. We're human beings. And you have to treat people a certain way for them to be healthy. You know, they need to feel safe. They need to feel free in their, like a dog that chews its fur out or a bird that rips its feathers out because they live in captivity. Do you think they understand that concept? Do you think they understand like an animal that's just been brought into this environment? It's never known anything else its entire life, but it gets sick anyway. It's got food. It's got water. It's got everything it needs. Why is it acting fucked up? Why is it? Because it's not supposed to live like that. And it doesn't like it. It doesn't really know that as a concept. It just knows, that's all it knows, that it's in pain. Mentally, spiritually. I think that's what's happening to a lot of people. It's not good. Not good for anyone. Never mind the collective consciousness that huge segments of society are being carved off into different directions of radically. I don't mean a little different. Oh, they're a little different. There is an irreconcilable, like there's a chasm of difference now between where they are and where we are. Like it is. That's not a place I'm willing to go ever under any circumstances. Like it's just not. I'll fight you to the death before I do that. Like that's not happening. So. And they're not going to stop. If we keep letting them take things, why would they stop? If you could go to a bank and just take money out of the register every day and nobody stopped you, nobody even called the police, nobody even complained. Well, maybe they complained. There's a protest outside. Some people with some signs. Dina Sharif's out there with a whistle. But you can walk in there right now and just grab 200 grand if you want. And all you have to put up with is some whining. Pretty much everybody's going to do that. And they're just going to keep doing it. And why would they stop? They don't need to. So if people are sitting around waiting for this nightmare to just, you know, when will it end? When we end it. Participating in their games is not, I mean, they own the building. They own the casino. They own everything. They make the rules. And when the rules don't suit them anymore, they'll make new ones. Like they've been doing. The idea that you're supposed to express yourself through and whatever your desires might be through these so-called proper channels, when we've seen time and time again how corrupt and untrustworthy that they are, and then they could be manipulated and changed and flipped on its head at any time just because they said so. How stupid do you have to be? Of course they want you to do that. That's the whole reason the Conservative Party exists at all. Because if there wasn't one, someone might create a real one.
that would work, that would resonate with people. But we already have one, so everybody just goes there.
And they gotta play the game, and you gotta fucking, you gotta put the turban on. You gotta put the pronouns in the email. It's what we're doing now. Is it?
Yeah, just keep losing. Keep losing ground every day, all the time. Pretending you're not, living a lie, and getting more mentally ill by the minute. To the point where you're telling people, you know, half of India, you're going to direct flights from some random, you know, shithole city in India to, is that's a priority. That's a Canadian priority. That's something we need to do for some reason. Plastic straws. Are you okay? Who is coaching? Who is the guy from earlier? I hope they fired him by now. Strategist. For example, I don't think this is going to apply to Mr. Pleb. I don't think he's in any danger. I would assume, I would say none of those people are. Derek and I read through the bill when it was introduced in 2020. And it was authored by lawyers from the Canadian Anti-Hate Network and was cheekily called the Anti-Hate Bill initially in its first attempt to get through Parliament. And it very, it was very clear it was aimed at people like us. Maybe even me specifically. If you go and read through it, you'll understand what I mean. And that's now their priority. That's what they have said. Everything they've said they were going to do, they've done. And now their priority, one of them, is to get this through as quickly as possible so that they can criminalize online, specifically, dissent by cloaking it in the language of hate and safety and children and all of these other kinds of sensitive words that lesser confident people will not broach or approach or engage with at all because it intimidates them and they don't want to get into something that they don't really understand and don't have the knowledge about. So they get away with it. It's not about protecting children or hate or anyone's safety. No one is harmed from the internet.
Police are searching for a rogue internet today as it strangled a woman and climbed out of a bedroom window.
No, no, there's just information on the internet. Video, audio, text, lots of different media for, you know, information. Yeah, there's no violence on the internet. Violence is if I punch you in the mouth. Yeah? It's a physical altercation. That's what violence means. Violence is physical harm being dealt to a victim. You are not physically harmed because you read, saw, heard, or otherwise were informed by some information. You didn't suffer a broken jaw from that. Your eye didn't fall out of your fucking head. You don't have sciatic pain because of a podcast. Like, none of that happened. No one is in any danger. And if, oh, we gotta protect children. Well, parents should be doing that anyway. If there is a 9-year-old unsupervised on the internet, that's fucking crazy, because that's one of the most dangerous places for children to be in the world, is on the internet unsupervised. You should know that. In fact, why don't you just make it a rule? You can't have a social media account until you're 18 years old. There. There. Or, you know, or maybe 16 with parental consent. Let's just, there's no more 8-year-olds on the internet. Why? It's illegal. We don't let them drive cars, smoke cigarettes, drink beers, or vote yet, even though you want them to. So why not that? Right? There's easier ways to do. No. We got to protect children somehow. So we have to, the penalties include life in prison, tens of thousands of dollars in fines, ankle monitors. I was alluding to that as well. You'll be banned from you probably using the internet, devices, all kinds of stuff like this. And you can be reported anonymously. Someone can anonymously report you for hate. And you never gets aired out in like court, right? It's like a secret, you know, because then otherwise the victims of hate would have to be exposed to they wouldn't be safe. So it's created this wonderful Soviet style secret police kind of reporting system where everybody's afraid to say anything all the time because anybody could be reporting anyone, like the old stories from the USSR where wives would report their husbands for being disloyal to the party or something because they were mad at them. And then they'd be hauled off to a concentration camp and never seen again. And stuff like that. So ours is a little more mild. It's just you're just going to do 10 or 20 years in prison instead. It's not like labor to death. You'll just get years in prison because you said something that someone else didn't like on the internet. And the government is going to decide and dictate what hate means, what an emotion is. They're going to quantify how much, how little. And they're going to tell people what it says specifically in the bill, detestation. If you're causing... if you're expressing, you know, detestation, you detest something, you hate. So they're going to just look at you and someone, probably Barney Farber, will decide on his internal detestation meter what level you're at. And anything above a 5 is life in prison. I'm sorry. Sorry, that's how that's going to go. But who this is going to go after is going to be people that are primarily critical of mass the actual problems. Okay, this is how you know, right? The enemy doesn't install, you know, guard towers with machine guns and dogs and everything around areas it's not trying to protect, does it? So why all, we need all these laws? We need to really fucking primary, why? Yeah, no, they're real worried. They got to go chase pleb around because he might say, bring it home some more. Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about you talking shit about the liberals. Nobody, blah, 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 blah. It's been happening for centuries. No one, it doesn't mean anything. There are specific things you can't get into, though, because if that catches on, people will freak out and then we'd be fine. So you can't be going out. The mass immigration stuff is, no, that's racism. That's hate. So we can't talk about that. And any kind of Jewish influence anywhere is anti-Semitic. So that's jail. You're going to jail for that. Anything critical of Israel or Zionism or Jews at all, that's also jail for life, probably 10, 20 years in prison, potentially. So that's kind of the orbit where that stuff is going to be. And I don't think they'll arrest everybody. I think they're intending to get me and one or two other guys, maybe. And the chill effect from that, like the news will go around and then everyone will see how the trial and all the thing. And no one will want to say anything.
Don't want to end up like those guys.
There. That's the plan. So I'm going to watch and see when they reintroduce this masterpiece. And my lawyers and I are going to go over that line by line. And then I'm... I have to make a judgment call on some things, but I can't really say more than that because I don't want to give anything away. Be stupid to do that because they're trying to get me, you know.
All right, here's what I'm going to do, step by step.
Oh, Carney's playground. Oh, this is the new Canada. It's built back better now. It's so much more festive. Don't you just feel all the gloominess lifting, you know? Doesn't everything just feel sunny ways, you know? Doesn't it just feel like we're about to turn a corner into something so much better and hopeful and... I mean, it's Carney time, isn't it? And where I'm from in Pictou, before, I mean, it's not an Indian town yet, but it will be in 10 years. That was the best time of year. It was Carney time. The carnival came to town, and everybody was just drunk for 4 days, It's mayhem. No one knows what's going on. No one's going to work. There's just people passed out in the street. It's kind of chaotic. And the police just, there's like five cops. They can't do anything. It's like 700 people downtown. There's five fights going on. It's people just selling drugs. It was crazy. It was carny time. It wasn't for the week. And you didn't do like one night. No. It was an event, okay? It starts on Thursday afternoon at like 1 o'clock. Some of them start drinking in the morning. Some of them even have pre-carny drinking, they call it. They call it pre-carny to warm up for the bender. The penciled off mandatory town bender for 4 days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's not a lot of sleeping. It's like, see how fucking out of control you can be for four days. See if you can die. Like, see if your heart will take it. Stay up drinking screwdrivers till the sun comes up at 9 in the morning, and then decide you're going to go walk and get a hamburger at 10:30, and then the liquor store is going to be open, and you'll just fucking re-up. And the show goes on. And that's why... That's why 24-year-old men from Picto look like they're 48. I mean, how old do I look, you know? Don't answer that. I'm not proud of it. It is what happened, though. It's okay. Everybody's going to get a taste of this now. All of Canada's going to get a piece of this now. I had practice. I had practice in powering through physical, mentally abusive torture. You think the circus, you think the carnival is your ally? I was born in the carny, molded by it. I didn't see sanity until I was nearly a man. Gotta get the limbs out. This place is gonna pop. It's gonna get interesting. I'm gonna check the chat one more time, and then I'm gonna make fun of Saskatchewan a little bit. They don't get it very much. All the other provinces do. Keep your heads on a swivel, says Jagmeet lost his seat. He sure did. I got a seat for him and PP on a trebuchet. Head rags optionally, says his helmet's not required where they land. It will make little difference. It will little to no difference. Jen Steens is completing our fully nude CRJ calendar. Completing? I don't know why I read what he... I never know what to say. That's the one unique concept of the Jen Steens. I read it and go, I don't know what to say to this. Almost without fail. Usually I'll have something I can spring off of it, but I read that and go, well, that's a car crash, you know? Whoa, I'm way behind over here. Hail Carney. Kneel before Carn! Carn! He's a villain. We're gonna meme him. We fucking meme Justin out of existence. We'll get him too. Carnival. There's definitely an evil clown carnival angle is definitely, I mean, that's got to be in there. Imagine him just like quietly, dead seriously applying clown makeup to his face like the Joker while he's giving a press conference. How fucking scary would that be? Mr. Carney, we can come back later. No, stay. I want you to see this.
Go on. What were you asking?
Are the lambs still screaming? Scotia Gentleman says, the photo with you and Carney real? No. I was in bed when that happened. I had not, I fucking, all these people, he's fucking with everybody. I you know what I did the last week? I fucking worked out and played video games. I didn't do anything. I wasn't even on the internet. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, I'm not looking at any. I can't. It's cancer to me. I can't go on there and see idiotic statement after idiot. I just can't. It's bad. It's bad at the, you know, normal times, but election time, it's like, it's hurricane season for stupidity. It's like the October window of like, oh, everything's going to get fucked up now. Just batten everything down, tie it all down. Just, you know, get some generators and just find some board games. You're going to be here a while. Just, you know, that's my election strategy. Because I don't believe that it doesn't make any difference to me at all. The only difference I thought would be to me personally was if the Liberals don't win, we might be able to get away with not having complete and total having your voice removed in Canada for another year or two, maybe. But what difference does it really make? Because they were going to do it also. They were also going to do it. So. And don't expect them to fight it. You know, they'll go, hey, you can't fucking, it's my turn. And then the Bloc Québécois has already said there's no other option but to just support the Liberals. And, you know, the NDP's gone. They're wiped out. They've got 7 seats from like 30, 40 what they had before. So the Bloc and the Liberal, they're just going to put. And how is that? How is a separatist party from Quebec, how does it have how does it have saying power and what happens to the rest of the country? Like if Carney says, yeah, home equity tax on everybody, and why does Quebec get to, yeah, anyway. I mean, I know why, I don't agree with the reasoning is what I mean. I know what the reason is, I just think it's bullshit. But no, I didn't. Somebody photoshopped that and showed it to me. And I was like, when was, no, that's not real. For a second, I was like, did I do that? No, I didn't do that. Cease to stay there. Says, could someone link the Carney as a genius guy? Please want to send it to people. It was Robin F. Hillier. And from the video, I downloaded it from somewhere. It looked like it was on Facebook. I think it was Facebook. H-I-L-L-I-E-R. Robin. R-O-B-I-N. F as in the letter. F for fuck. Steven says, I renounced my citizenship today. Well, oh man, these Western separatist guys are just not going to get it. I don't even think I want to entertain it. I'm like, you know what? You just go ahead because there's no point. You can't talk to it. When people are emotional, there's no point. It's the that's the fastest way to destroy Canada and fuck everybody. Is that if they succeed in prying Alberta out, that's it. The whole thing comes down. And then you're at the mercy. No, then you'll never. I don't know if people know this, but like the United States is like fucked right now. Like, beyond broke and doing insane things with its economy. Everyone in the world is offloading U.S. Treasury and dollars and repositioning. Like, dollar death is imminent. The U.S. dollar is going to die. And, I mean, I've heard of a sinking ship, but something like half the people in America aren't American. Their numbers are worse than ours. Way worse. And they're making it illegal to talk also. And they might start a war with the Chinese to stave off the what's happening. It's called the, I don't know how to pronounce this. Thucydides. Thucydides, however you say that Greek word. was to describe a situation between Athens and Sparta, were two old Greek cities back then. A big country, you know, was a big city, you know, earlier in our development. There wasn't big empires and that kind of stuff to that scale generally, but later, you know, a bunch of cities team up and they become a bigger country, you know, and blah, 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 it expands. But anyway, back then, they had two real big ones. They had Athens, who had always been, or maybe it was the other way around. I think it was Athens, though, had always been kind of this dominant force in the region. And then Sparta started becoming like an up-and-coming competitor and was poised to surpass the Athenians, and they had to fight because there's not enough room for the two of them. And that's essentially what is happening now, that there is an emerging superpower and a declining superpower, and they appear to be on a collision course. And the only way around this is either the U.S. just either steps out of the way and lets it happen, or they try to fight them over it and probably lose. So there's that to think about. And now all the problems Canada has is just, oh, no, we'll just snap our fingers. And then in America, everything's amazing. Like the place where 9/11 happens. And all the Epstein shit. All the CIA shit, all the Waco stuff, all the Ruby. Oh, yeah. No, the U.S. government is really good. They're really awesome. You want to be under the, you want them as a daddy. You don't want Ottawa, who is like a little bitch. You want to trade them for like, I mean, they're on the way out. It's like 99 Mike Tyson, but it's still Mike Tyson. It's not 1989 Mike Tyson. It's 2000, you know, it's. You're going to go contend with that instead. And I think it might just be out of practicality. I think the Americans need, they think they're looking down the road. They're trying to, they want Greenland. They want all this shit. They're trying to insulate themselves from a possible confrontation with the Chinese, and having all of our resources would put them in a much better position to wage a prolonged campaign against the Chinese, and that would enhance their bargaining power. So if they were able to acquire Canada, they could threaten the Chinese much more effectively than they can right now. So anyway, the idea that anybody thinks we're anything, we're going to get anything good without a fucking hell of a fight, you're kidding yourself. That there's any way out of this inevitable confrontation. There isn't. There isn't. Doesn't matter where you go. You know, like all the Indians in Calgary? Oh, you should go to Minnesota. Go see how many Minnesotans there are there. Or maybe California. See how many Californians there are there. Oh, at least I'll have money. Oh, the U.S. dollar just collapsed. Everybody's lost everything. Oh, fuck. And if they even believe that. That means that you believe that the conservatives are better, that they, if they had won, everything would be fine. You believe that. Otherwise, what are you upset about? Nothing has changed at all. Nothing has changed from 4 days ago. Nothing. All of the same people are still there. All of the same shit they were always going to do is still going to happen. Your team lost a reality show contest is what happened. Whoop-de-doo. Hey, let's freak out and blow up the country now because my team lost a reality show contest that it was of no consequence at all and was totally meaningless. Because if we can't fight them together. If we carve ourselves off into much smaller bite-sized packages, then we'll be able to definitely defend ourselves that way. At the end of the day, they want you dead. That's what this is. iPhone moment nears for humanoid robots. You know what that means? You know the iPhone revolutionized the world with the cell phone? It was the first one of these disasters, right? These things are right around the corner, and they are going to basically put out of work most labor jobs, low minimum wage, medium, service industry jobs, factory, retail. I mean, quite a few. And that's actually the plan. A lot of these people talk about at these meetings when they go to these stupid Bilderberg things and their World Economic Forums and their Davos, they sometimes publish what they're meeting about and talking about, and it's like the automation of the future and what are we going to do with all these people who won't have jobs because we're going to have robots do everything. And that's why we need universal basic income. We're just going to pay them to do nothing, essentially, and buy them out, and robots will do everything. And people think, oh, that sounds great. Is it? You believe them, huh? It's going to be great for you. It's going to be a huge improvement. And they're going to retail for about $20,000 to $30,000. So about as much as a car. So people will be getting loans and mortgages and shit on these fucking robots that will take your trash out and do your laundry and make your food and all. Who knows? It is going to absolutely blow up the world, though, in a way that's going to change everything. It's going to be the pre and post robot world, just like there's the pre and post internet world. Now we're doing robots. And the scary part is that these fucking psychopaths are going to use these robots to save a lot of money because they don't need pensions. They don't even need food. If they get hurt on the job, they just get another robot. Why would they hire you? You want a pension and time off? No, 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 we don't need you. Because this is a business. This isn't a country. This is a business. And I think people just keep making that mistake because it's just too convenient. It's just right there. It's just too tempting and too easy to grab onto. Somebody else will save me. They're all bad. They're all bad, even if they're not. Even the people that go into these systems and authority positions, if it's politics, whatever it is, even if they're not bad people, they're forced to be by not doing or not saying anything. Because if the system or the machine happens to be doing something that they agree with, that's great. Other times when it's doing something that they're not okay with, shut up and do it anyway and smile while you do it, or else you're out. They don't really have any say. It's a job. They're employees and they're expected to adhere to certain ideas and so on and to stay in that career. So it's like that other saying that I've really grown to like. One of the guys told me, there's bad cops and there's quiet cops. There's bad leaders and bad politicians and there's quiet ones. The ones that aren't saying anything about where all this Brookfield money's coming from and going to. What went on in these cabinet meetings? What went on? They're just being quiet about it. They're not bad. They're not bad. They're not all bad. Mm-hmm. And it's just easier to play. It's easier to play in the system and play the game and just go back in the Matrix. Watch the TV, watch the CBC reports. But, oh, those are going to vote for the Obama. Oh, we're going to get a by-election. Oh, none of it is inconsequential. Because all these people that you're like rooting for, against, blah, 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 they're all just auditioning for this middle managerial job that they do not push against anything of any consequence. No one does it anywhere in the world. There's a reason for that. What do you think goes on? Like, why the islands, right? I mentioned earlier, Maxwell Gold. Oh, big cans, Ghislaine Maxwell hanging out there with Mark Carney on a beat. What's that about? Like, you know what these people do? It's not just murder, dungeon, sex trafficking, children island of doom. It's a blackmail operation. It's how you gain leverage over people. You get them in compromising situations and you record it and you show it to them and you tell them that now you owe me. Now you do what I want you to do. Or this goes to your wife or your kids or the new or whatever. Whatever's going to ruin you the most and make you kill yourself, that's who's going to see it. Okay. And, you know. And the people going to these islands and these things, well, they're, you know, they're powerful folks. And we know that's what was happening. We know that they were blackmailing people and entrapping people and recording. And they've got all these tapes and cameras and, you know, hidden microphones. So we know that's what they were doing. And we know generally the kinds of people who were going there, powerful, influential. So they've toppled other countries for trying to circumvent the money mafia. Why do you think we went to Libya? You know, Libya was the richest country in Africa before we started destroying it. And it was leaving the US dollar system. Somebody gonna get hurt real bad. There's a trend there, actually. Everyone that opposes the banking empire gets destroyed. The banking empire, specifically. And that's who loans all the money to the government. The banks loan the money to the government. So who owns who? Who fucking cares who you vote for? Who cares who's sitting in the chair? Unless they're going up there clear-eyed, chin up, chest out, fuck you, bank. I see you, criminal. And we're not doing it. Come kill me. I dare you. Go to fuck yourselves. Unless they're... It doesn't matter. They're all just playing a game. They're auditioning for the role of prime minister or president or congressman or mayor, whatever it is. So they get in on the squeeze, the money, the notoriety, the attention, all the fun stuff they see that comes with that. And they lie to themselves and make excuses like, oh, well, I mean, I'll do a little bit of good where I can. I can't do much of this or that, or I can do a little bit of it. Yeah, right. When the most serious things are happening that demand like a people's consensus, like we have to agree that this is what we're going to do, or this is going to be disastrous for us as a people. After 9/11, the list leaked of all the countries we were going to blow up and destroy. And it didn't make any sense. And we were targeting Iraq and everyone was like, what the fuck is going on here? Millions of people marched in the streets, man. Millions of them did in Washington and in London, all over the world. No war. We're not doing it. Guess what? We're doing it. We did it. We're still doing it. It's 24 years later and we're still doing it. But you, oh, my team didn't win an election. What? Ah, fucking cry me a fucking river, dog. You're, up, look, up there. That's the problem. That, and that the people down here are paying any respect to this. That you take it seriously. That you lend your time and energy and effort and put your spirit in. Oh, I gotta get the limbs out. Oh, we gotta win. We gotta look. It's for kids. You might as well be watching hockey games. It's ultimately meaningless. It goes nowhere. Every time I first came into this studying, watching the Americans, because that's where all the exciting stuff was happening, I thought. Republican, Democrat, Republican, it didn't matter. They'd all say all this stuff, and it all sounded like the right thing, and then they'd get in there and do the exact fucking, Obama campaigned as the hope and change, and they gave him a Nobel Peace Prize for things that he said, gets in the office, blows up half the world. Drone strikes hundreds of people personally.
That's what I do.
Right? Finally, George Bush is gone. We didn't go anywhere. Because he was never really the guy. It's like, it's like a play area at McDonald's. There's certain things you can do and there's certain areas you can go into, but that's all. It's like people seem to think, oh, well, the prime minister's like the king. He can do whatever he wants. None of these guys are. None of them are. This didn't just happen. This has been taken down since the 50s at least. And like a game of Monopoly or any other parasite that is just gobbling up everything around it, eventually there's nothing left. Eventually there'll be no one left who isn't corrupt. Tumor spreads, it gets bigger, it gets great. Runs out of stuff to eat here, goes to find, eats. Once you've squeezed all the money out of that hole, you go look for some more, like your house. There's never going to be enough. It's never going to stop because everybody is running away from it. Everyone's looking for ways to not fight it. How do I escape? How do I get out of this without having anything bad happen? How do I fight 12 rounds without getting hit once ever and be guaranteed that nothing will happen? So I'll go on and on about all this shit I want to do, but I'm not sacrificing my comfort level, though. I don't want to be called names or anything. I don't want to be extreme. Who's feeling extreme today? What's the matter? Did your milk toast middle of the road, proper channels, professionalism, that didn't get it done for you? That's strange. Because this is three times now. You've said no, we can't. No, don't listen to those guys. Don't think like they're extremists. They're crazy. We just need to make minor adjustments. Change the curtains. Change the bedding. Change the seat covers from red to blue, and then all of a sudden, this place is going to be amazing. You'll barely even be able to hear the screaming from the sea containers out back with all the human trafficking victims locked in there. Send them from Vancouver to China tomorrow. This is a situation we're in and we're stuck with it. And it hasn't made any difference from 3 days ago to today. all the same people are still in charge. All of the same things that are in motion and happening and have been happening for the last 5 years are going to keep happening. Slowly, gradually, all the same stuff is just going to keep going on. And everybody just keeps trying to find a way to not have to deal with it. I don't know if it's a thought process problem. Most people just don't have time. Definitely keep us busy enough. Too busy trying to survive to worry about anything else. But I don't know why people think that every 4 years, I'll get a pencil and I'll go like this in a box and that's it. That's all I had to do. That was the sum total of my participation of the forces steering the direction of this country and the people in it. I took a piece of paper and I wrote a scratch on it with a pencil. It was my civic duty. You know, they like that. They shame you into that. Oh, you got to do. Oh, you have to, huh?
Yeah.
And when Fred in the shed and Box of Wine Barton are going to tell you what the numbers are anyway. Does it feel right to anybody? I mean, I voted. I did everything I could. I didn't do anything for 4 years. Watched a couple of ads. I talked to a guy at work, and then I did the voting thing, and there, I'm a good citizen. That's my politicking. Except that's like the least important thing that you can do, actually, because like I said, it doesn't really matter even who's elected. It matters what you say and what you don't say. It matters what you do and what you don't do. Like consenting to putting some untested medical technology in your body or in your children. There's a choice. Wearing a mask is a choice.
I had to so I could travel.
That was a choice you made. Where do you spend your money? What do you spend it on? Where's that dollar go? All of these things have a political impact. They all affect the world around you. And if you're going through your life every 4 years, oh, just checking, blah, you're not even participating. You're asleep at the wheel, and why would you know what's going on? And you trust them to tell you, oh, you saw it on CBC. Oh, sure, yeah, they're on the level. Don't worry.
I read it on Twitter.
That really is the problem. If the kind of energy that people have had for the last month, the interest and focus on these topics and these problems, these things, wasn't just confined to a 2 to 4 week period in a blitz bomb, idiot, slogan fest, feel good meme election campaign. There's no time to even get to understand anything in that amount of time. Never mind in this environment. But if they had that level of intensity and passion for it for longer than 4 weeks, you know, maybe 4 years or 14 years. Rather than trying to find a way to hide and escape and not deal with this, maybe you just start trying to find something to deal with a little bit every day. Everything you do matters. Every dollar you spend, everything you say, you don't say, who you talk to, where you go, all of this stuff. Everything matters. Multiply that over 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 100,000 people. Look at everything we've been able to do that I've been able to achieve and do with the support from all of you people, my friends, with Morgan, all of it, none of it, nothing that we've done in the last 5 years that has had a real, real impact on real people in real life who are better off for it, as am I. None of this needed a fucking politician or a vote or anything like that. No government fucking nothing. It turns out you can just do things. And this concept that you have to wait, you have to just wait and sit there like a sad child waiting for daddy to come home so he can take you to the park. You're old enough to go yourself. You don't need their fucking permission, and you don't need to wait around for them to give you some kind of cue for you to support or oppose or get involved in something or care about your community or the people around you. You don't need their say-so. They need ours, and we should take it away. Because you're fired. You've done a really bad job. So just all of that energy and time and effort into, oh, my politicians, my multimillionaire, fucking more Indians, let's fucking, yeah, let's help those people. Cut that off. Don't give that to them. Take all of that back. Look in the mirror. What does that guy want to do? What does that girl want to do? That's who deserves it. If you don't care about you, and you're not going to fight for you, and you're not going to stick up for you, why the fuck would anybody else? And you're going to relegate it to them and trust them to do that? You're going to rely on Milhouse and the gang to look out for you? That's okay. I'll look out for myself. Thanks. It's going to get greasy soon, so. The way they're steering this boat, there's no way we don't run this aground, and there's not going to be some serious. I said it years ago. I said there will be a time in the future where they will look back and go, remember the convoy? I wish that's as bad as it got. We should have stopped it. We should have just reasoned with the convoy and avoided all of this. We should have stopped way back then. They'll look back at that as the good old days. 2022 will be the good old days before this shit's over. Hey! Paid for my pool. They voted for let's get it over with. Nobody wanted to go the speed limit to communism. They wanted to go right now. The boomers want to go right now. Before Matlock's on. We're going to stand up to Trump by fucking letting the government take our houses and fucking replacing us with Indians. And then over the conservatives. Well, we're going to fucking fuck over Ottawa by blowing the country up and being eaten by the Americans. Or, hey, I have an idea. How about fuck all of the politicians? Because they're none of them are on our side. Not fucking one of them anywhere has demonstrated to me or anyone that they're capable of sacrificing even a fucking percentage of their paycheck. Never mind anything else. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve any of it. They're literally beneath you, all of them. If no one regards the system as legitimate or has authority, it all of a sudden doesn't. They'll fight it. I mean, they'll probably try to start killing people, but then they're killing people, and then everybody knows what has to happen then. So. I just wanted to make YouTube videos. Now we're here. Soon we'll be somewhere else. I'm here for it. Six Epitratus, Propatria! See you on the beach. It's Carnival time, Phil. Thanks so much, guys. RaisingDissident.com for all my social media links to all the stuff and things. Ko-Fi.com if you want to support what we're doing here. I appreciate it. See you on the next one. This is it, huh? This is the... No, I'm not... It's the same, Phil. You just changed the music. Everything's exactly the same. No, I know. I see the pile of bodies. They were there before. No, they've been there since 2021. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know they're censoring it. That's all news also. This has all been ongoing. Have you not been paying attention either? None of this is shocking to me. Yeah, sure, he's creepy. He's like a sober, evil Jim Leahy. Like, if Jim Leahy wouldn't drink and he was just sober, and instead of the liquor, he's like, I am the money. Listen, Randy, I am the money. That's Carney. That's scary. He's a super genius, evil Jim Leahy that's addicted to money instead of liquor. I guess there are. There you go. Alcoholics are better than one group of people. Bankers. Their addiction is better, I have to say. Now I'm going to bed. Bask in the horror. Bask in it. Yeah, they elected Elizabeth May again. Of course they did, Phil. Why are you having a hard time believing any of this? Oh, look down there, look. No, it's not Vietnam. That's not the Vietnam War, Phil. No, that's Vancouver. Yeah? For years it's been like this. We were there. I know you were high. Cope wherever you have to, man. I gotta get up early and do some push-ups tomorrow. Yell at Indians, you know the usual. Have fun.
Don't touch anything. No, there's fentanyl everywhere. Well, maybe you want to touch it. I wouldn't. Enjoy the Carnival. 2025! Built back better! Woo!